restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Fentanyl poisoning is a growing problem in our community, but we can help do something about it. Join us September 18th at 1 p.m. at the Riverfront Park Amphitheater for the Decennium Giving Circle to celebrate a beautiful heart taken from our community entirely too soon. The concert is free, but there will be a raffle with prizes donated by local businesses and artists. So come on down, because we can all make a difference.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. Yesterday was one of the worst days in modern American foreign policy history. Yesterday saw the death of 13 American service members and at least 90 Afghans as two explosions ripped through crowds seeking evacuation in the wake of Joe Biden's ill-fated and ridiculous, stupid pullout from Afghanistan. The tactics were bad. The strategy is worse. The geostrategic implications are grave. According to the Wall Street Journal, more than 100 people were killed, including at least 13 U.S. service members and 90 Afghans at the Kabul airport Thursday, when two blasts ripped through crowds trying to enter the American-controlled facility, disrupting the final push of the U.S.-led evacuation effort. A suicide bomb attack at the airport's Abbey Gate was followed by an assault by gunmen, officials said. Another bomb attack took place nearby at a hotel outside the airport, according to officials. 18 U.S. service members were also injured, the Pentagon said, so that 13 dead U.S. service member numbers, that could actually go up. The attack marked the deadliest day for the U.S. military in Afghanistan since 2011. So remember, the whole purpose of this operation was to prevent U.S. casualties from the Taliban. We had not had this many casualties in a single day in Afghanistan for a decade. And Joe Biden, in signal fashion, somehow brought about this result. Pretty incredible. We'd had zero combat casualties in Afghanistan, count them zero, since February of 2020. And Joe Biden pulled out all the troops, and then he handed over Kabul to the Taliban, and then the Taliban allowed in ISIS, and then ISIS proceeded to kill 13 U.S. service members, wound 18 others, and kill 100 Afghans at the same time. The attack marked the deadliest day for the U.S. military since 2011, came just 5 days before the Biden administration's deadline for the complete military withdrawal from the country. And this may not be the end, Marine Corps General Frank McKenzie has said. The military expects more attacks. It is a full-scale disaster area, and it was brought about completely and utterly by our incompetent, foolish president. And I'm not sure what is worse, what the president thinks when he is with us, or the fact that he is not with us. Like, I don't know whether to blame the fact that he is senile or the fact that he is incompetent, because he's had these crappy ideas on foreign policy every step of the way. As Barack Obama once famously said, never underestimate Joe's ability to things up. Okay, so the man has not been right on a single foreign policy issue his entire career. And he's been holding this perspective, which is that we should just cut and run from Afghanistan, since 2010, despite the fact that the mission radically changed from 2014 on, when the United States and NATO dramatically withdrew troops, moving from 70, 80,000 troops in Afghanistan every year down to about 10,000 troops. And at the very end of this mission, 2,500 troops in Afghanistan acting as a cork in the bottle. And Joe Biden decided that we were going to pull out, and then everything that happened was going to happen. Now, what you're hearing from Joe Biden's defenders is, well, this is why we needed to leave, don't you see? This is why. Okay, that is a bizarre argument. So here is my argument. My argument is that Joe Biden's decision to leave and his decision to leave in the way that he left meant that this was going to happen, and then it happened. The proof that I was right, and the proof that everyone who criticized Joe Biden was correct, is that everything we said would pass came to pass. That is the proof. Joe Biden's argument is, if we had stayed, the same thing would have happened. The evidence of this has not been provided. The suggestion that Joe Biden has been making, which is that if we stayed, inevitably we would be drawn back into an Afghan war involving tens of thousands of American troops, is asinine on its face. There's no evidence to support that. And yet that is the entire justification for a thing that he did that has now resulted in precisely the result that he said he was attempting to avoid. This president is a joke. This policy was a joke. The bravery of our guys in the face and women who are there in the face of what the limits that have been placed on them by this stupid, half-assed administration led by the vaunted foreign policy team that brought you the Iran deal and the Iraq pullout leading to the riots of ISIS. Those same people have constructed this one. The bravery of the American service members who have put themselves in harm's way under these restrictions is awe-inspiring. Obviously, our prayers go out for their families at this hour. It is unbelievable. I mean, they knew that they didn't have enough people to hold the surrounding area of the airport. They knew that Joe Biden had restricted them from going in and performing evacuation missions. They knew that there weren't enough people on the ground, not enough boots on the ground to even do their own security. And yet they were in close contact with Afghans and Americans trying to get them out of the country. It's just, it's awe-inspiring stuff. And this is the result of crappy policy, of unbelievably horrific policy, an immoral policy. It is an immoral policy. What Joe Biden did here is immoral. On every level, it is immoral. According to the New York Times, President Biden and other U.S. officials insisted that the carnage and continued danger would not halt the American-led airlift that, after a belated and rocky start, has ferried more than 100,000 people out of Afghanistan in the last 2 weeks. Estimates of the total dead and wounded differed and were rising quickly as different hospitals and officials weighed in. Since the Taliban takeover earlier this month, thousands of Afghan civilians and foreign citizens have gathered at the gates of the airport, which has a military and civilian side, desperate to be airlifted out of the country. At times, the area has descended into chaos as people scrambled toward evacuation flights. Two U.S. military officials said evacuation flights were continuing, though it was not clear whether any gates at the airport were open. Most of the bombing victims were Afghan civilians, including families with small children. We've been seeing the videos over the past few days of what it looked like at Abbey Gate, directly outside of the airport. And basically, it looked like a corridor that was completely jam-packed with humanity. In the aftermath of the bombing, the video is available. The bodies of those same people are visible, littering the ground, covering it, blanketing the ground. And then today, after the bombing, how bad are things about to be in Afghanistan? Things are about to be so bad in Afghanistan with the Taliban taking over and ISIS and Al-Qaeda in cahoots with the Taliban, at least insofar as performing anti-American acts of terror and anti-Western acts of terror. Things are about to be so bad there that people are still thronging the exact area where 115 people were blown up yesterday. That's how bad things are. Can you imagine in your own life doing that? You went to a crowded area. There was a bombing there the next day. And you went back there to same crowd. You decided to go back there the next day knowing the threat was still there. That's how bad things are over in Afghanistan. And that is completely the creation of Joe Biden. The excuses that have been made by the Biden administration for turning tail and running. And that's what's going to happen here, right? I mean, we are going to turn tail. We're going to run. We're going to remove all of our troops. We're going to leave Americans stuck there and Afghan citizens stuck there and American green card holders stuck there and people who worked with us stuck there. We're not talking like a few dozen. We're talking thousands of people. We're going to leave to the mercies of the Taliban or ISIS or Al-Qaeda, whoever gets to them first. And that's the fate that Americans can await in Afghanistan. If ISIS reaches you first, presumably they'll behead you. If the Taliban reaches you, they will presumably hold you hostage until Joe Biden pays them some money or gives them some more billions of dollars in American military gear. Brought about completely by Joe Biden. Now, all of this could have been prevented, even if you believed in the pullout, which again, I think is idiotic policy. I think that the arguments made that, oh, we had to end our endless war. It doesn't count as an endless war when you have 2,500 troops on the ground and zero combat casualties for the last 18 months. In that case, Bali is an endless war. Our troop presence in South Korea is an endless war. Our troop presence in Italy is an endless war. When you're not taking combat casualties and you have a small footprint, that does no longer count as an endless war. But in any case, even if you believe that we should have been pulling the troops out, doing so without even securing the airbase that has multiple runways, without leaving enough troops on the ground to create a buffer zone around that airport, is full-scale idiocy. General Mark Milley was asked just a week ago about why we withdrew, for example, from Bagram Air Base, which, remember, we controlled. His answer was that the choice was given to him to go down to 600 to 700 troops. And he was asked, do we protect Bagram Air Base or do we protect the embassy? And he recommended we protect the embassy. The problem there is the limit put on him by Joe Biden. Joe Biden owns this one top to bottom. Liz Sly of the Washington Post reported yesterday the Kabul airport attack has nixed hopes of evacuation for the last thousands still hoping to make it out. I'm hearing the U.S. military is sealing shut the airport gates. The casualty numbers are growing by the minute, a tragedy piled on a tragedy. Alex Thompson, the White House reporter and co-author of Politico's West Wing Playbook, wrote, increasingly looking like U.S. will end up leaving behind 1,000-plus Americans, and many times as many Afghans who assisted the United States will have to try to evacuate them in different ways after August 31st without U.S. troop presence. The State Department says, we're in contact with the roughly 1,000 Americans we believe remain in Afghanistan. Notice the language here. They're excluding green card holders. Right? Green card holders are people who have the legal right to live in the United States, legal permanent residents of the United States. Remember, for the media and for the government, green card holders matter. When the Saudis are killing them, when the Taliban are killing them, they don't matter at all. When Jamal Khashoggi, a legal green card holder of the United States, is murdered by the Saudi government, that precipitates an international relations crisis. When thousands of American green card holders are left in Afghanistan behind enemy lines, this is not worthy of a mention. According to the State Department, however, the vast majority, over two-thirds of those 1,000 Americans believe that remaining in Afghanistan, informed us they were taking steps to leave. We believe many, if not most, of those individuals are nearly or already out. Oh, well, so that only leaves a few hundred, which is significantly better. Well done, guys. The Pentagon released a statement in the immediate aftermath, giving thoughts and prayers to the wounded. And the Taliban, of course, said it's not our fault. They said it was the U.S.'s fault. The U.S. didn't do proper security. Okay, all of this is madness. But the truest madness of all is the weaponry that we handed to the Taliban, the trust we have now placed in the Taliban. That trust, by the way, means that we literally gave them a list of people to go kill. Okay, so let's start with the weaponry that we're leaving in Afghanistan. So Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, he listed off yesterday the resources we just left to the Taliban.
The Taliban now has access to over $85 billion worth of American military equipment. That includes 75,000 vehicles, over 200 airplanes and helicopters, over 600,000 small arms and light weapons. The Taliban now has more Black Hawk helicopters than 85% of the countries in the world. But they don't just have weapons. They also have night vision goggles, body armor, medical supplies, and unfathomable to me and so many others is that the Taliban now has biometric devices, which have the fingerprints, eye scans, and the biographical information of the Afghans who helped us over the last 20 years.
So all that's going well. And by the way, if that doesn't mean that we failed here, how about the fact that in order to facilitate the evacuation, apparently, U.S. officials in Kabul, you ready for this? They gave the Taliban a list of names of American citizens, green card holders, and Afghan allies. They gave them a list. The Taliban, the same people who harbored al-Qaeda before 9/11 and refused to turn them over after 9/11, the same people who have slaughtered tens of thousands of people in Afghanistan, including thousands of American troops, we gave them a list, not just of Americans, but of Afghan allies and green card holders who we are about to abandon in Afghanistan. We gave them a list. So now all they have to do is find those people and kill them. We did that. According to Politico, the move, detailed to Politico by three U.S. and congressional officials, was designed to expedite the evacuation of tens of thousands of people from Afghanistan as chaos erupted. It also came as the Biden administration has been relying on the Taliban for security outside the airport. Since the fall of Kabul in mid-August, nearly 100,000 people have been evacuated, most of whom had to pass through the Taliban's many checkpoints. But the decision to provide specific names to the Taliban, which has a history of brutally murdering Afghans who collaborated with the United States and other coalition forces during the conflict, has angered lawmakers and military officials. Basically, they just put all those Afghans on a kill list, said one defense official. It's just appalling and shocking. It makes you feel unclean. Yes. And so in just a second, we'll get to the administration's response to all of this, because it is astonishing. It is degrading. It demonstrates that the greatest power in world history has been laid low by our own bloated inefficiency, stupidity, and lack of moral rigor. That we have decided as a society, if we decide to okay this sort of behavior, we have decided as a society, as I said yesterday, to fatten ourselves up, eat a bunch of potato chips, slip into a warm bath, and slit our own wrists. as a society, that is what we have decided to do. If this is the sort of action by an administration we have decided to okay politically. It's unbelievable. And by the way, it came from the top. This was no one else's decision. The buck stops with Biden. Biden was the formulator of this policy. Biden was the advocate of this policy. Biden is the person who lied repeatedly on behalf of this policy. We'll go through the timeline in just a little while here as to how many times this administration lied leading up to the murder of 13 American service members in Afghanistan. And it may not be the end of the story in terms of how many people are murdered in this immediate round. And it certainly isn't going to be the end of the story in terms of the geopolitical ramifications of giving our enemies half of our military technology via Afghanistan, as well as the impetus to move against all of our allies. We'll get to all of this in just one second. First, you know, it can be overwhelming to perform at your best as you age. There's a lot going on. You got career, family, staying in shape. Life can get stressful. You start to slow down. You're not present when you want to be. To perform at your best, physically and mentally, you can't let age beat you. This is where M-Drive can help. M-Drive is the daily supplement for driven men who don't want to slow down, who refuse to be tired every day, who want to be the best at what they do. It's packed with clinically tested ingredients that support healthy testosterone levels while helping you lose weight and stay lean. Added vitamins and nutrients reduce stress and boost your drive so you can perform at your best. Find it at Walgreens and other retailers, or visit mdrive4men.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. They have free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you really have nothing to lose. M-Drive. It's not for everyone. It's for the driven. mdrive4men.com, promo code Ben. That's the letter M, drive4men.com. Use promo code Ben. You get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. They have free shipping, a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can give it a try, see if it works for you. mdrive4men.com. Use promo code Ben. Alrighty, coming up, the first public statements from the administration came yesterday from the Pentagon. We'll get into it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At Finance Pal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At Finance Pal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized.
Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325.
Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
COVID-19 has changed everything for the children of the world. Since the earliest days of the pandemic, we've been on the ground, providing children food, educational resources, and basics no child should be without. To learn more, visit savethechildren.org/together. This year, join us and make change for children. Visit savethechildren.org/together. Sponsored by Save the Children.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out.
DINOVITE.com.
So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
Dynavite. She's little Miss Hollywood.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So for hours after the attacks yesterday, there was no one, no face to actually ask questions to. Then the Pentagon had a press conference. The person who was speaking via telephone was General Kenneth McKenzie of CENTCOM. And he admitted, we are now relying on the Taliban for security. That's what we did. We decided that what would be a great idea, just follow the logic here for a second. We said to the Taliban, it is now your job to prevent terrorists from attacking United States interests. Now, if only we had some sort of historical incident that might tell us whether that's a good idea or not. If only we had some sort of predicate to determine whether it would be a great idea to trust the Taliban to fight terrorism. Like, let's say that there had been a power in Afghanistan from 1996 to 2001. And let's say that they had harbored a fugitive named Osama bin Laden and his entire Al-Qaeda network base. And let's say that from Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda had then launched attacks on U.S. embassies in Kenya, Tanzania, on the USS Cole, and finally and most spectacularly on September 11th. And let's say that the United States had then approached the Taliban and said, guys, you need to hand over bin Laden or we're going to destroy your entire regime. And they had said, fine, come get us. Why, it's almost as though when you trust the Taliban to prevent terrorism, they immediately proceed. I mean, immediately. The Taliban has been in charge of Kabul for less than 10 days. They immediately proceed to let in all the terrorists. Remember, Joe Biden said that the mission in Afghanistan was to prevent terrorism. I've noticed a few terrorists in Afghanistan recently. I don't know if you noticed it. I noticed it among, like, all the dead bodies of the babies and the U.S. service members. I noticed there was a little terrorism that the Taliban had been not only okay with, but they were the ones in charge of security. And yet, the U.S. has now been forced into the position of relying on a bunch of a bunch of barbarian 8th century goat herders who have now seized our equipment because we are pathetic. And I mean our political leadership, not our military, our political leadership, and some members of our military leadership as well, because somebody needs to lose their ass over this. Somebody needs to get fired. Okay, and by the way, the person who should resign is Joe Biden, who is a disgrace to his office. But don't worry, we'll get to slow, old, senile Joe in a second. Okay, here is the general of CENTCOM, Kenneth McKenzie, explaining, don't worry, we're relying on the Taliban for security, and so far it's been going great, guys.
We believe it is their desire to continue those attacks, and we expect those attacks to continue. And we're doing everything we can to be prepared for those attacks. That includes reaching out to the Taliban, who are actually providing the outer security cordon around the airfield, to make sure they know what we expect them to do to protect us. And we will continue to coordinate with them as they go forward.
They're protecting us now, the Taliban. Now, McKenzie was asked a pretty obvious question, which is, do we even know if the Taliban let this happen? Because here's the thing. The Taliban have really very little interest in preventing this sort of stuff. Because, as we will see, the United States has no ability, capacity, or will to hold them accountable. What exactly is the Taliban's interest in preventing terror attacks on American targets, humiliating America in the face of the Taliban, weakening America in the face of the Taliban? What is the Taliban's actual interest, except they are afraid of U.S. retaliation? And if you remove the threat of U.S. retaliation from the Taliban, which is precisely what this administration has done, why exactly do they care? I'm not even saying that they coordinated the attack. I'm saying, why would they care if the attack takes place if you're not holding them responsible? So here was McKenzie explaining, we don't even know if the Taliban let this happen. We have no idea.
Do you still trust the Taliban, and is it possible that they let this happen?
So as to whether or not they let it happen, I don't know. I don't think there's anything to convince me that they let it happen. As to whether or not I trust them, that's not necessarily a word I use very carefully. You've heard me say before, it's not what they say, it's what they do. They have a practical reason for wanting us to get out of here by the 31st of August, and that's that they want to reclaim the airfield. We want to get out by that day, too, if it's going to be possible to do so.
Okay, and our reaction, by the way, here's the reality. They want us out, we want to get out. And if there's a terrorist attack, we're still getting out. So now what's their interest? You skewed the incentive structure, you idiots. You skewed the incentive structure. If there's no retaliatory response requiring a longer American presence, why does the Taliban care if Americans get murdered in large numbers, or American citizens, or Afghans outside the gates? Alrighty, coming up, the President of the United States, God help us, then decided it was time to speak to the American people. It was disgraceful. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCR 96.5 FM AM 1460 and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident? And find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drought. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Furnished by Common Sense Media.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. For the President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden is a disgrace to his office, and he proved it once and for all last night. He had called a presser for 5 p.m. in which he was going to speak, and he then showed up at approximately 5:25, which is his wand. Barack Obama used to do the same thing. It is highly irritating. On a day when you are supposed to be speaking to the family members of dead service people, you really should show up on time. Okay, so that was, you know, of minor consequence. What was of major consequence is this befuddled, senility-ridden old man, incapable of running his own administration, incapable of coming up with a coherent policy, presiding over an administration that withdrew from Afghanistan for no apparent reason, for no gain. We get nothing out of this. We withdrew for no reason whatsoever. And then we proceeded to withdraw in the stupidest possible way while lying every step of the way. And now we are trusting the Taliban to do our security. And now we are giving the Taliban kill lists of people who worked with us. This fool, this ridiculous fool, he should, if he had any honor at all, he'd resign. Of course he won't. He is a disgrace to his office. He's a disgrace to the United States. It saddens me to see our president, because he is the elected president of the United States, the fact that our president is this is an embarrassment. It is immoral. It's a moral embarrassment. His presence in the Oval Office is a blot on the office. And that's saying a lot, because we've had a lot of bad presidents in the past. This is the most disgraceful foreign policy decision and act of malpractice I've seen in my entire lifetime. And for people older than me, it's still true. He decided, apparently, that the best foreign policy here was a mashup of the fall of Saigon, the Iran hostage crisis, the bombing of the USS Barak, the U.S. barracks in Lebanon in 1982, and Iran-Contra shipping weapons to the enemy. For no gain, actually. At least in Iran-Contra, we were attempting to do something good. Here we just handed over $85 billion in military equipment to the worst people on Earth. So Joe Biden finally wanders out to the microphones, and he begins. And I have to say, I was shocked by his appearance. He has looked as though he is falling apart for a long time. He looked barely warmed over. He sounded awful. He was stumbling over every word. He was utterly incoherent. It was as though he had just escaped from a nursing home. It was an amazing, just visually speaking, optically speaking, it was an amazingly embarrassing moment. Here's the president. This is what it sounded like when the president of the United States said, remember, this is the day 13 American service members were murdered by terrorists on his watch because of policies he created. And instead of him coming out there and looking strong and tough, instead of him coming out there and looking as though our enemies should be afraid of us, he looked beaten. He looked defeated. He looked not just old, but decrepit. Here was Joe Biden yesterday.
A tough day. This evening in Kabul, as you all know, terrorists attacked that we've been talking about, worried about, that the intelligence community has assessed, has undertaken an attack by a group known as ISIS-K, took the lives of American service members.
That's how he opened. That was his opening. And that alone, America's enemies must be drooling over this person. They must be drooling over the dead horse that we've thrown out there. Okay, then he moved on in his speech to paying tribute to the service members, but he couldn't help himself. He had to then brag about the effectiveness of this evacuation mission. He's still using the talking points from 48 hours ago. You remember about 48 hours ago, the administration started moving on from the talking point of this is a brilliant idea to our evacuation has been shockingly successful. You know, with the Afghans falling from the wheel wells of planes onto the tarmac. You know, the evacuation is actually, like, we deserve credit. Yesterday, the DNC was sending out emails bragging about how successful this evacuation was, which, as I said on the show, is the equivalent of the captain of that Titanic not accidentally hitting the iceberg, deliberately looking at the iceberg, saying, I'm going to ram this sucker directly into the iceberg. The boat starts taking on water. He rushes up to the top deck. He unleashes the lifeboats. He says, everybody in the lifeboats, 2/3 of the people get out. And he says, what an unbelievable captain I am. I have set the Guinness Book of World Records record for the most people evacuated from a lifeboat. Okay, that is what the administration has been doing. So he's paying tribute to the service members yesterday who deserve all the credit in the world, but he can't help himself praising his own mission here.
These American service members who gave their lives, it's an overused word, but it's totally appropriate here, were heroes. Heroes who've been engaged in a dangerous, selfless mission to save the lives of others. They're a part of an airlift, an evacuation effort unlike any seen in history, with more than 100,000 American citizens, American partners, Afghans who helped us, and others taking the safety.
Again, that's him praising his own mission. That's him praising his own mission, which is a failure. Okay, then Joe Biden did what the media love when he does. He did the empathy thing. Right. And by empathy, it means that he tried to speak to what it feels like to be in this. You know what? None of those families would be mourning their sons and daughters today. None of them, if it had not been for this man's policies. So I wonder how many of them really want to hear it from the president of the United States. But this is what he was elected to do. He was elected to empathize, not to proceed with good policy, not to protect Americans, because we're going to leave at the very least hundreds, probably thousands of Americans and green card holders behind enemy lines. He was elected to emote. He's the emoter in chief. And so here he was last night trying to paper over his gross incompetence and malpractice with a bit of sentimentality.
We have some sense, like many of you do, what the families of these brave heroes are feeling today. You get this feeling like you're being sucked into a black hole in the middle of your chest. There's no way out. My heart aches for you.
This is utterly insincere. I'm sorry, it is. You are responsible for that policy. You're responsible. I'd love to hear from the members of the military families as to what they feel. Because there are 17 million people who've served in the American military over the course of time who are alive in the United States right now. 800,000 people have served in Afghanistan proper. And I've talked to many, many Afghan war veterans, over the course of the last several weeks. I can't name one of them who wants to hear emoting from Joe Biden as he proceeds to sully their legacy, subject all of their allies to the threat of death from the Taliban, and now to actual death at the hands of ISIS-K. Okay, then Joe Biden had to make excuses for the Taliban. Right, so here's part of the policy. Part of the policy is now, just as it was with the Iran deal with the Obama administration, that once you make a deal with the devil, you have to make excuses for why the devil isn't actually the devil. Now Joe Biden is making excuses for the Taliban. So remember, the entire incentive structure for the Taliban to protect Americans as they leave is that if the Taliban don't, we might stay and retaliate against them. But Joe Biden has removed all of that by making excuses for the Taliban because he has to cover his own political ass in case the Taliban turn out to be the bad guys we know they are. So here he was yesterday blaming ISIS-K, but relieving the Taliban of responsibility. That was the important thing.
Over the past few weeks, I know many of you are probably tired of hearing me say it.
Yes.
We've been made aware by our intelligence community that the ISIS-K, an arch enemy, the Taliban, people who were freed when both those prisons were opened, has been planning a complex set of attacks on the United States personnel and others. This is why, from the outset, I've repeatedly said this mission was extraordinarily dangerous, and why I've been so determined to limit the duration of this mission.
Okay, so our mush-mouthed president then makes a mush-headed argument. This is his argument all the way through. If bad things happened in Afghanistan because we took the cork out of the bottle, then clearly they would have happened if we hadn't taken the cork out of the bottle. That is the argument. So if we did X and Y happened, then certainly if we had not done X, Y definitely would have happened, but way worse. I'm sorry, but your counterfactual no longer applies. You did X and Y happened, and it was perfectly predictable that Y would happen. So, by the way, he's now making excuses for why we should cut and run. So there is a bombing. It kills Americans. Instead of him saying, we're going to stay long enough to get every American citizen out, and if you touch us, we will kill you, which is what any normal American president would say. His argument is, look, something bad happened yesterday. That's an excuse for us to get out even faster. It just shows why we need to get out super fast. Okay, then Joe Biden says we're going to complete the mission. Okay, but of course, He has defined the mission as getting out by August 31st. The timeline is the mission for Joe Biden. Normally, you define the timeline on the back of what you need to accomplish. Normally, if I decide that we need, as a company, to achieve a certain thing, we then say, how long will it take to achieve this thing? And then we define the timeline by what we are seeking to achieve. In this particular case, Joe Biden defined the timeline, and the mission is now the timeline, which means a lot of people are going to get stuck over there. Here is Joe Biden trying to make excuses for this.
We can and we must complete this mission, and we will. And that's what I've ordered them to do. We will not be deterred by terrorists. We will not let them stop our mission. We will continue the evacuation. I've also ordered my commanders to develop operational plans to strike ISIS-K assets, leadership, and facilities. We will respond with force and precision at our time, at the place we choose, in the moment of our choosing.
Okay, that part is the best part, right? So he says, we're going to get them. We're going after them. We're going to, sometime in the future, later, when I want to, not right now. That's what that means. That means ISIS just killed Americans, and they're going to get away with it. Because guess what? In 3 days, okay, it is now the 27th. In 3 to 4 days, we are gone. We do not have any assets on the ground. We do not have any allies on the ground. We don't have eyes on the ground. Okay, all this talk about how we are going to go after the ISIS, he's hoping you forget. That's what's going to happen here. Okay, that's what he's hoping. Of course he wasn't going to say, because for him to retaliate now means you need more troops on the ground, not fewer. So instead, he's just doing this, we'll push it off, you know, we'll get them at a time, it sounds strong, it is actually weak. Obviously. Okay, and then he just tells a series of lies that are meant to make you feel comfortable, but are just lies.
Here's what you need to know. These ISIS terrorists will not win. We will rescue the Americans.
Nope.
We will get our Afghan allies.
Nope.
And our mission will go on.
Nope.
America will not be intimidated.
Nope. Has four direct lies in, five actually. In a row. The ISIS terrorists will not win. They already have you handed them Kabul. We will rescue the Americans in there. You're not. We haven't been doing large-scale extraction missions to rescue Americans in there. And you've already admitted hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans will remain after we leave. We will get our Afghan allies out. Nope. You just handed a list of them to the Taliban so the Taliban can go shoot them and kill their families. Our mission will go on. Nope. Your mission is over in 4 days. America will not be intimidated. Too late, you jackass. Too late. You're the president of the United States babbling nonsensically like a mental ward patient about how the Taliban are our friends now. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden had some blame for everyone else. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606 My Leads. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606 My Leads, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606 My Leads, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart.
Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there.
Heather's arm is in motion, but she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer. Go to TakeAHealthyStand.org.
Furnished by Stand Up to Cancer.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At Finance Pal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At Finance Pal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized. Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325. Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Porchette, his coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, he's blaming everybody at this point, his military commanders, Trump, not himself, not the Taliban, God forbid. No. But he was trying to shift the blame yesterday, no question. So as we'll see later, he tried to blame Trump, but he blamed his military commanders by saying, we were all unanimous on this. No, you weren't. And we have information suggesting your military commanders were basically all warning you back in February, March, that this was going to happen. And you ignored them because you are a nitwit. Here is our nitwitted president of the United States.
There has been complete unanimity from every commander on the objectives of this mission.
Nope. Unless by unanimity on the objectives of the mission, you mean you told them exactly what you wanted to happen and how many troops they could have to do it, and then they had to somehow scramble to make that happen for you. Okay, so Joe Biden concludes his speech. And again, so much of this was optic as well, if you watched it in real time. He's just not there. He's not there. I won't even say that the lights are on, but nobody's home. The lights are not even on. Several of the light bulbs are out. There was the president of the United States who was an embarrassing display last night.
May God bless you all. May God protect his troops and all those standing watch for America. We have so much to do. It's within our capacity to do it. We just have to remain steadfast. Steadfast. We will complete our mission, and we will continue after our troops are withdrawn to find means by which we can find any American who wishes to get out of Afghanistan. We will find them, and we will get them out.
So that is him admitting that Americans are going to be left behind, fully, in his doddering and confused fashion. Okay, then he took a few questions from a list. As always. And he admits, right up front, they gave me a list. Who is they? You know, have you ever heard, it's such a weird tick. And he does it nearly all the time now. They gave me a list. Who, your night nurse? Who gave you the list? Why do you have a list? Why can't you just call on people? Are you incapable of pointing your finger? Here was Joe Biden explaining.
They, you know, the same nice lady who gives me my pills every morning gave me this list here.
Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
The first person I was instructed to call on? What in the actual... Okay, so, one of the first questions is, did you make a mistake in working with the Taliban? And of course he's like, I've never made a mistake in my entire life.
Some criticism, even from people in your party, about the dependence on the Taliban to secure the perimeter of the airport. Do you feel like there was a mistake made in that regard?
No, I don't. Look, no one trusts them. We're just counting on their self-interest to continue to generate their activities. And it's in their self-interest that we leave when we said, and that we get as many people out as we can.
That last part is just a lie. Why is it in their interest that we get as many people out as we can? It's in their interest that we leave when we say we're going to leave because they want us out. That part's true. But you're already guaranteed we're leaving. So there's no countervailing factor there. If I say, I'm leaving no matter what. No matter what. Which is what Biden has said over and over and over and over again. What's the obligation on them? And by the way, it is not in their interest that everybody leaves with the United States. It's very much in their interest that they have a bunch of hostages that they can hold over the head of the United States. So the U.S. has no option but continuing to funnel the money and make nice with them. Everybody knows this. Okay, now, it's pretty incredible. He is asked specifically at one point about this Politico story I mentioned earlier, that the United States handed a list, essentially a kill list, to the Taliban. And Joe Biden is not with us. He is not in the loop. He is not mentally there. This is an amazing, unbelievable, discombobulated answer.
So, yes, there have been occasions like that. And to the best of my knowledge, in those cases, the bulk of that has occurred. They've been let through. But I can't tell you with any certitude that there's actually been a list of names. I know there may have been, but I know of no circumstance. It doesn't mean didn't exist. That here's the names of 12 people. They're coming. Let them through. It could very well have happened.
That very well could have happened. You're the president of the United States of America. Isn't it of relevance to you whether the U.S. military under your direct command is handing lists of Afghans who work with us to the Taliban? It very well could have happened. Alrighty then, this is just, it's so beautiful. He's asked, does he bear responsibility for this? And Joe Biden's like, this is by Peter Doocy. And he says he does bear responsibility, but, here we go.
I bear responsibility for fundamentally all that's happened of late. But here's the deal. You know, I wish you'd one day say these things. You know as well as I do that the former president made a deal with the Taliban.
Okay, again, you know that I take the blame, but it's Trump. But it's Trump. Weird, because you said in an open interview that whether or not Trump had done anything, you would have done exactly the same thing. And then, of course, he poses the false alternative. We had to do it this way, this unbelievably crappy way, or we'd have to pour thousands of more troops into Afghanistan. And also, we've accomplished our objectives, which is weird, because our objective presumably was to fight terrorism, as Joe Biden's about to say. I noticed some terrorism yesterday against Americans.
I'd have only one alternative. Pour thousands of more troops back into Afghanistan to fight a war that we had already won relative to why the reason we went in the first place. I have never been of the view.
Okay, we can stop it there. When he says that we could fight four more troops into Afghanistan to fight a war we'd already won relative to why we went. And then later he says we went to prevent Al-Qaeda from being in Afghanistan. Well, you know what was preventing Al-Qaeda from being in Afghanistan? Us being there with a skeleton crew of 2,500 people. That's what was happening. Okay, the lasting images from this presser are not going to be any of the things he said. It's just going to be the images. And there were two particular ones that came out. One was Joe Biden, like a small child being called on in class without having done his homework, burying his face in the podium, essentially, as Peter Doocy asks him a difficult question. Here's what that looked like.
No, wait a minute. I'm asking you a question. Is that accurate, the best of your knowledge?
What? I don't think you could be interested. Do you think that people have an issue with pulling out of Afghanistan or just the way that things have happened?
I think they have an issue.
That image of the old man clutching a binder to his chest and lowering his head as though he is being victimized and put upon after 13 American service members die in service to his garbage mission. That is an unbelievable image. And then it finishes with him saying he has to leave because, you know, he has another meeting. For real, guys. For real.
Basically, you said you squarely stand by your decision to pull out.
Yes, I do. Because look at it this way, folks. And I have another meeting for real.
I have another meeting for real. Oh, as opposed to for fake. What a disgrace he is. What a disgrace he is. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Officials in Louisiana are warning of dangerous conditions as Hurricane Ida makes its way toward the Gulf Coast this weekend. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says people across the state need to make preparations for the rapid arrival of a powerful storm that could bring winds of over 140 miles an hour.
By nightfall tomorrow night, you need to be where you intend to ride out the storm, and you need to be postured as you would want to be as that storm approaches you. Make sure that you're paying attention to your family, to your pets, to elderly loved ones and neighbors.
In New Orleans, Mayor LaToya Cantrell called for voluntary evacuations. With the storm intensifying so much over a short period of time, she said it wasn't possible to order a mandatory evacuation, which generally calls for using both lanes of highway traffic to evacuate people from the city. A judge has blocked Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' order banning mask mandates. Ed Donahue reports.
DeSantis says if kids wear a mask in school, it should be their parents' decision.
Certain things really should be decided by the parents and not decided by the government.
A circuit judge ruled DeSantis overstepped his authority and agreed with a group of parents who claimed in a lawsuit the executive order is unconstitutional and cannot be enforced. 10 school boards in Florida voted to defy DeSantis and impose mask requirements with no parental opt-out. DeSantis has questioned the legitimacy of mask wearing.
It's actually harder to hear people when they're covered in the mask. So the idea that this doesn't affect learning is total nonsense.
His office says DeSantis will appeal. I'm Ed Donahue.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 242 points, the Nasdaq rose 183, the S&P 500 advancing 39. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Investing involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
The Metropolitan Correctional Center in Lower Manhattan will be closed.
The facility where Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide will be closed, at least temporarily, to address issues that have long plagued the facility, including lax security and crumbling infrastructure. The jail currently has 233 inmates, down from a normal population of 600 or more, most expected to be transferred to a federal jail in Brooklyn. Inmates have complained in recent years that the jail was infested with mice, rats, and roaches, and that multiple inmates were forced to share dirty sinks and toilets. John Scott reporting.
Maryland's highest court will reconsider the punishment of Lee Boyd Malvo. He's serving life without parole for the sniper attacks that terrorized the Washington, D.C. region in 2002. Malvo was 17 when he went on a killing spree with John Allen Muhammad that killed 10 people and wounded 3. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A Chinese actress has been fined $46 million for tax evasion as Beijing continues its campaign against what it describes as a chaotic celebrity fan culture.
The tax authorities said Zheng Shuang had failed to declare her full income for a TV series she's been filming called A Chinese Ghost Story. In a move that shows the Chinese state's enormous power over its citizens, producers have also been told not to hire the actress in future. Officials order the drama not to be broadcast. China has just announced an attack on celebrity culture in general, including a ban on popularity lists. There'll be closer control of fan groups and internet sites that the authorities believe spread gossip and provoke trouble.
BBC correspondent Michael Bristow reporting. Chicago officials are accusing DoorDash and Grubhub of harming the city's restaurants and their customers via high fees and other deceptive practices. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This hour of the Ben Shapiro Show is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your internet activity today at expressvpn.com/Ben. The president of the United States is a failure. His Afghanistan policy is a failure, and he is a liar. And in order to understand what a liar he is, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of this debacle for Joe Biden in April of 2021 and trace the number and degree of the lies being told to the American people about what was about to happen with his policy in Afghanistan. You have to actually follow the timeline of what he has been saying for months and all the lies his administration has been telling, because the lies never stopped at any point, And he's going to continue to lie. When he says, I'm getting Americans out, I'm getting all the Afghan allies out, we're going to perform missions, we're going to go get it. Do you believe a word that comes out of his drooling mouth? Do you believe a word that comes from this man? If you do, you are a fool, because we're about to play an entire timeline of the stuff that Joe Biden has said since April when he announced we were pulling out. He has not said a true thing this entire way. So let's begin. This begins April 14th. This is when Joe Biden announced that we were leaving. Here's how he described the operation that was going to lead to our exit in Afghanistan.
We'll not conduct a hasty rush to the exit. We'll do it responsibly, deliberately, and safely. And we will do it in full coordination with our allies and partners, who now have more forces in Afghanistan than we do. And the Taliban should know that if they attack us as we draw down, we will defend ourselves and our partners with all the tools at our disposal.
Oh, really? Not a word of that was true. Responsibly, in coordination with our allies. Our allies think we're a bunch of idiots, because the president is. So he betrayed our allies. He betrayed the Afghans. We didn't do this responsibly. We didn't do this deliberately. So that was just a lie. Okay, fast forward to July. This, of course, is his most famous lie when he says this isn't going to be anything like the fall of Saigon. He's right. It's way worse than the fall of Saigon.
Do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam, with some people feeling...
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. Six, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comparable.
Not comparable. I mean, that's good to know. It's not comparable. So that was July 8th. Kidman, that was a lie. Everybody knew that was a lie. And this notion that it was like a giant shock, it's just not true. It wasn't a giant shock. Okay, so he was lying on April 14th when he said that this would be a considered move and the Taliban wouldn't take over the country and all that. Then on July 8th, he said that they're not like the Viet Cong and this wouldn't be like Saigon. So he was lying then. Now, fast forward to the last week and a half or so. So today is August 27th. So all of this stuff that we are about to examine is from the last 11 days. The number of lies this president and his administration have told in the last 11 days boggles the mind. But they think that you are a fool, and they think that you don't follow this stuff. And so they assume that they'll be able to get away with this. The most humiliating foreign policy debacle of my lifetime, bar none. Okay, so let's fast forward to August 16th. Joe Biden says the buck stops with him. And the reason that we are leaving is because we can't take more casualties, thousands of more casualties. Again, this was a lie when he said it. We had taken zero American casualties in combat. since February of 2020, at the moment that he said this, on August 16th. He said the buck stops with him. This is designed to prevent American casualties. I noticed a few American casualties yesterday.
I am president of the United States of America, and the buck stops with me. I'm deeply saddened by the facts we now face. But I do not regret my decision to end America's war fighting in Afghanistan and maintain a laser focus on our counterterrorism mission there and other parts of the world. I cannot and will not ask our troops to fight on endlessly in another country's civil war, taking casualties, suffering life-shattering injuries, leaving families broken by grief and loss. This is not in our national security interest.
Okay, keeping 2,500 troops there with zero combat casualties since February was not in our national security interest. Withdrawing them so that 13 of them could be murdered at the hands of ISIS-K, that was definitely in our national interest. That was August 16th. Fast forward 2 days. Joe Biden has watched as the withdrawal has turned into a debacle already. By this point, we've already seen the video of Afghans falling from the bottom of planes trying to escape the clutches of the Taliban. He does an interview with George Stephanopoulos on August 18th. And he says nobody has died, knock on wood. Pathetic.
Still a lot of pandemonium outside the airport.
Well, there is, but look, but no one's being killed right now. God forgive me for if I'm wrong about that, but no one's being killed right now.
God forbid, I mean, if I'm wrong about that, no one's... By the way, by the point he said that, people had already been killed outside the air. Like, seven people had already died during the evacuation by that point. Now, the new death toll, as of this moment, has now stretched all the way up to something like 170 people are dead, 170, including the 13 U.S. service members and 18 more wounded. Okay, then, that same interview, Joe Biden says, we're not going to leave Americans or American allies behind. A lie.
All troops are supposed to be out by August 31st. Even if Americans and our Afghan allies are still trying to get out, they're going to leave?
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out.
Nope. So he's lying then. Okay, fast forward 2 days after that. Now we're only 6 days, we're now 7 days ago. Okay, this is August 20th. Joe Biden, again, reiterates, we are not going to leave Americans behind. He was lying.
Let me be clear. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home.
Nope. Wrong. Lie. Hey, also, that's him, presser. He says, you know, the good news is Al-Qaeda's not in Afghanistan. There's only one problem. Everyone knew Al-Qaeda was in Afghanistan. Not only is Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, you know the people who are actually handling the security around the airport for the Taliban, our trusted partners over here? You know who it is? It's the so-called Haqqani Network. What is the Haqqani Network? It's an Al-Qaeda offshoot. Not only is Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, they're handling the security at the airport Joe Biden is trusting. This man is a disgrace and a liar.
Let's put this thing in perspective here. What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point with Al-Qaeda gone? We went to Afghanistan for the express purpose of getting rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan as well as getting Osama bin Laden. And we did.
Oh, did we? Al-Qaeda's still in Afghanistan, and by the way, so is ISIS. And the people we handed the country back to are the exact same people who harbored those people. Again, it boggles the mind. That we are supposed to, like, he thinks you are such a moron that we handed the same country back to the same people who harbored bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And we're supposed to now treat them as reasonable peace partners as they go around shooting people in the head. They're dragging people out of their homes and shooting them in the head if they worked with the Americans. And Joe Biden says, don't worry, there won't be any uptick in terror while the terrorists are handling the security around the airport. That's how stupid he thinks you are. We'll get back to the timeline of the Biden administration's horrific lies on Afghanistan in just 1 second. First, let us talk about a simple fact. Your biggest bill every month is undoubtedly your mortgage. You could be paying a lot less for your home every month. This really is a true statement because there are still some loan programs out there with rates in the twos. They can't stay this low forever, so you've got to take action right now. Call American Financing today. Take advantage of a free, no-obligation mortgage review. Be one step closer to hundreds, maybe even $1,000 in monthly savings. I mean it. There's more to a mortgage refi than just a lower rate. which is why American Financing reviews your entire financial picture. They'll find every way possible to help you save. You'll work with a salary-based mortgage consultant, so you're getting a no-pressure lending experience that's focused on you. They never charge upfront or hidden fees. Pre-qualify for free by calling 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300, or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now, AmericanFinancing.net, or give them a call at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Go check them out right now, AmericanFinancing.net. In that same press conference, August 20th, Joe Biden says, don't worry, any attack on our forces will be met with a swift and forceful response. Well, the bombing happened 24 hours ago. We have seen no swift response. We have seen no forceful response. We have seen no response from the President of the United States.
We've made clear to the Taliban that any attack on our forces or disruption of our operations at the airport will be met with swift and forceful response.
Oh, well, then that's, well, yeah, clearly, because he's lying. Okay, fast forward a couple days after that. Now Joe Biden is asked a question about ISIS, and he does what he does best. He runs away because he's a damned coward.
Thanks. Mr. President, what about ISIS and the threat that Americans face now?
Bye. Catch you later. By the way, that same day, he said that we had expanded the airport safe zone. Right? He said this to the American people, August 22nd. This is 5 days ago and 4 days before ISIS just blew everybody up.
We have constantly, how can I say it, increased rational access to the airport where more folk can get there more safely. It's still a dangerous operation, but I don't want to go into the detail of how we're doing that. I think you're going to see they're going to get out. Number two, we have made a number of changes, including extending access around the airport and a safe zone.
Oh, really? It seemed like that seemed like a super safe zone right outside the airport. By all available metrics, it was super safe. Okay, then, same day, he says, do we trust the Taliban? I don't trust anyone. I'm just giving them lists of American allies so they can kill them.
On the question of the Taliban, though, do you trust them now? Do you have to negotiate?
I don't trust anybody, including you. I love you. But, you know, there's not a lot of people I trust.
There's not a lot of people I trust. Like, I don't trust you the same way I don't trust the Taliban.
And then, his press secretary, Jen Psaki, who is his night nurse. Right? That's his actual night nurse. Joe Biden comes out, he craps the bed, and it's Jen Psaki's job to clean it up. Jen Psaki says August 23rd, remember, this is 4 days ago, 3 days before what just happened at the airport in terms of the giant ISIS attack. Jen Psaki insisted no Americans are stranded. It's all your imagination. There are no Americans stranded. This lying, dishonest, pathetic administration. Here's Jen Psaki.
Does the president have a sense that most of the criticism is not of leaving Afghanistan, it's the way that he has ordered it to happen, by pulling the troops before getting these Americans who are now stranded? Does he have a sense of that?
First of all, I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They are not. We are committed to bringing Americans who want to come home, home. We are in touch with them via phone, via text, via email, via any way that we can possibly reach Americans to get them home if they want to return home.
There are no Americans stranded is the White House's official position on what's happening in Afghanistan, right?
I'm just calling you out for saying that we are stranding Americans in Afghanistan when we have been very clear that we are not leaving Americans who want to return home.
Who wants to return home is always there, a keyword there, because the idea is that we're going to blame the people who remain. Also, we are leaving them behind. Clearly. Joe Biden said it last night. Don't worry, we'll figure out after we're out of there, have no resources on the ground, have zero leverage because we ain't going back in, then we'll figure out how to get them out. So she was lying then. Next day, she decided, again, this was literally 2 days now before the ISIS attack. She says, this is a massive success. I don't think you guys are giving us credit for what a massive success it is for us to load the lifeboats with people after we blew a hole under the waterline of the Titanic, after we dynamited this boat. I don't think you're giving us enough credit for how many people we've offloaded onto the lifeboats.
I would say that this is now on track, Peter, to be the largest airlift in U.S. history. Bringing American citizens out. It is bringing our Afghan partners out. It is bringing allies out. So, I would not say that is anything but a success.
She won't say it's anything but a success. There's only one word you can use for what we've been seeing, according to the Biden administration, 2 days ago, and that's success. Just success. So I leave it to you. Is this administration competent, capable? Are they acting in the best interests of America's future, or the American people, or indeed in the interests of the American service members? Or is this administration a clown car careening out of control with a senile person at the head of it, occasionally bloviating a particularly stupid idea and everybody rushing to fill the gap? You tell me. There are a lot of dead bodies that tell the story in Kabul today. Alrighty, coming up, a bad day for the Biden administration got worse when the Supreme Court struck down Joe Biden's latest eviction moratorium order. We'll get to that in just one moment first. It's a tiring time for everybody. It can be overwhelming to perform at your best as you age. You got a career, family, staying in shape. Life can be stressful. You start to slow down. You're not present when you want to be. To perform at your best, physically and mentally, you can't let age beat you. That's where M-Drive can help. M-Drive is the daily supplement for driven men who don't want to slow down, who refuse to be tired every day, who want to be the best at what they do. It's packed with clinically tested ingredients that support healthy testosterone levels while helping you lose weight and stay lean. Added vitamins and nutrients reduce stress, boost your drive so you can perform at your best. Find it at Walgreens and other retailers, or visit mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. They have free shipping. They've got a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. M-Drive. It's not for everyone. It's for the driven. mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben. Again, that is mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben. mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben. Go check them out right now. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, and 20% off your very first order. Alrighty, coming up, the President of the United States did something he said was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional, but three leftist members decide they don't care about the Constitution, of course. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At Finance Pal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At Finance Pal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized. Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325. Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Tracy Morgan for the American Rescue Plan.
People often look at me and think I'm a fireman. So when they came to me and said, Chief, tell them about the American Rescue Plan. I jumped down a fire pole
and I got to work.
Ma'am, do you have any kids at home?
Oh, yes, I do, handsome fireman.
Let's keep this professional. But what if I could put out some of your financial fires? Up to $300 per month per child. It could rescue you.
Claim your money at MyRescuePlan.org. That's MyRescuePlan.org.
Furnished by Common Sense Media.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, horrible day for America yesterday. Bad day for the Biden administration on a legal level. Bad day for the Biden administration as well. So the Biden administration, you'll recall, Joe Biden said that he was going to extend the CDC's eviction moratorium for no reason. Right? He said it was illegal. He said that the CDC did not really have the power to extend it. The Supreme Court had already declared that the CDC did not have the power to extend the eviction moratorium, and that basically the only reason they even allowed it to run is because it was about to run imminently anyway. Then, under pressure from his left flank, Joe Biden said, it's unconstitutional. I'm going to continue the eviction moratorium anyway. It goes right back to the Supreme Court, and in a 6-3 ruling, the Supreme Court slaps down the Biden administration. Now, a couple of things are amazing about this. One, that the Biden administration thought they would get away with it, or frankly, they didn't care, which is pretty incredible. Two, there were 3 votes to extend the CDC's eviction moratorium indefinitely, indefinitely, based on no legal authority whatsoever, which means that you basically just have 3 Democrat activists sitting on the court, 3 Democratic justices elected by the Democrats, presumably, I mean, like, selected. But when I say elected, I mean I'm making them akin to senators, to just be there and do Democratic policy. It's the 3 justices who voted to extend the eviction moratorium, who, of course, were the 3 Democrats on the court, right? Kagan and Sotomayor and Breyer. Okay, so here's what the majority wrote. Quote, the applicants not only have a substantial likelihood of success on the merits, it's difficult to imagine them losing. The government contends the first section of Section 361A gives the CDC broad authority to take whatever measures it deems necessary to control the spread of COVID-19, including issuing the moratorium. But the second sentence informs the grant of authority by illustrating the kinds of measures that could be necessary. Inspection, fumigation, disinfection, sanitation, pest extermination, destruction of contaminated animals and articles. These measures directly relate to preventing the interstate spread of disease by identifying, isolating, and destroying the disease itself. The CDC's moratorium, on the other hand, relates to interstate infection far more indirectly. If evictions occur, some subset of tenants might move from one state to another, and some subset of that group might do so while infected with COVID-19, which is a just ridiculous notion. Okay, then you get the Democrats' dissent, and this is what is incredible. Okay, so this dissent is just a masterwork in, we like the policy, so we're going to pretend it's okay. Justice Breyer wrote the dissent. The CDC has issued an order that, in light of the rise of the COVID-19 Delta variant, temporarily prohibits certain evictions in high-transmission counties through October 3rd. Today, this court, as an emergency matter, without full briefing or argument, blocks that order by vacating a lower court's stay. I think the court is wrong to do so, and I dissent. They, in order to explain why they dissented, what they actually did is they put a chart of the case count from the CDC. That's how they justified this. Now, you might note, that's not a constitutional argument. And either the CDC has the power to do this statutorily, or they do not have the power to do this statutorily. If they do not have the power to do this statutorily, it doesn't matter how bad the situation is. We have an entire branch of government called the legislature, fully capable of taking measures along the lines of an eviction moratorium. Although I would argue that the eviction moratorium, even if the legislature passed it, should be unconstitutional. It's a taking of private property in violation of the Fifth Amendment. But put that aside. Certainly, if you're going to pursue that policy, you don't get to do it via a legislative grant of power to the executive branch that does not exist. That's not how our government works. The legislature gives power to executive branch agencies. That grant of power is not unlimited. It is quite specific in many cases. If the executive agencies move beyond that grant of power and do stuff outside their purview, they have now done something unconstitutional. That is what happened here. But the justices seem to think that it's okay to seize that power so long as the crisis is sufficiently large, which just says that they are full-on authoritarians. Right? Which is why you have Justice Breyer including in the actual dissent itself a picture of the COVID chart. That does not change the underlying legal argument. That's like saying that there was no authority granted to the FDA to simply ban certain types of food. Right? They can't just ban meat. The FDA. They don't have that power. But let's say the FDA said, you know what? We got a problem with obesity in this country and heart disease. We're just banning meat. We're just banning it outright. And that went to the Supreme Court. Well, they don't have the authority to do it. And it doesn't matter how many charts you put in the dissent talking about the effect of red meat on your dietary health. You still wouldn't have the authority to do it. But according to the left, if a crisis is sufficiently large in their estimation, the government can do whatever the hell it wants in the executive branch. And this is how you end up at authoritarian dictatorship, truly. Alrighty, in just a second, we'll be joined by Dr. Marty Makary to talk about the Delta variant's upsurge and what it means. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full-flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement, too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Battle Creek Bridge crosses Battle Creek on Jelly's Ferry Road. The north side of the bridge is in Shasta County and the south side is in Tehama County. It was built in 1911, is 152 feet long, and was engineered by Robert L. Reading, son of Major Reading. In 1984, a new bridge was built on its east side because it was too narrow, load-limited, and posted for less than current legal loads. The old bridge was left in place and today is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Medical professionals in your area, we can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. 605-3237, which spells 606 My Leads, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text info to 606 My Leads, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, as the Afghanistan debacle continues, the Biden White House is trying to redirect conversation back toward COVID. The FDA has now given full use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine. Frankly, it is months and months and months too late. I mean, what exactly were they going to do? Say, well, whoops, and now we sucked the vaccine out of, you know, 150 million bodies. How exactly was that going to work? But they've declared this, and thus Joe Biden has declared it is time for you to mask up your child every time your kid walks out of the house, and all because they can't get vaccinated, and also that private businesses everywhere should start cramming down vaccine mandates. Joining us on the line to discuss all of this is Dr. Marty McCary, surgeon and professor of health policy at Johns Hopkins University, editor-in-chief of MedPage Today, New York Times bestselling author of The Price We Pay. Dr. McCary, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks, Ben.
So why don't we start with where we are with COVID right now? So we saw this major uptick, obviously, in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths across the South, just like we did last summer. It's not a giant shock, given the fact that it is really hot and humid outside. And so a lot of people are going indoors. A lot of the people going indoors are unvaccinated. And most of the people who are dying, like the vast majority of people who are dying, are still unvaccinated at this point. It seems like the waves have receded now in places like Florida. What do you make of current status?
That's right. Delta has crested in the South in most of the places where it's been a big problem. If you look at the states hit hard first, like Arkansas and Missouri, they're down 5 to 10% off their peak. So we're seeing Delta either just peaked or is peaking now in the South, and it's going to start to ramp up in the North as it enters the virus season there. It's not going to be as high of a bump because of high vaccination rates. But what you said earlier is the key, and that is we are losing Americans every day, and that is singularly focused on non-immune adults. Those are the people dying. Everything else right now is a giant distraction from that problem.
So can we how big a spike can we expect in, for example, the Northeast? And are we going to get the same sort of hysterical headlines from the media when people start to die in the Northeast as people start to go indoors because it's getting cold?
It'll be about half, if I had to guess, maybe two-thirds of the spike peak that we're seeing in the South proportional to the population. And we're starting to see it already. It's starting to go up as we are in the UK, which has very high vaccination rates, like Israel that you mentioned. But yes, you are going to see the media freak out. They're doing it, especially with kids right now. Kids are an amazing story because if you think about it, maybe half of kids in America have gotten COVID by now. And that's about 26, 28 million kids. And we've got 1,000 of them in the hospital, not downplaying it. Maybe a dozen or so who have died. We think none of whom are entirely healthy, or maybe a couple. So out of 26 million kids with an infection, that's a very low case fatality rate. Again, not downplaying it, but when we do things to kids, we got to remember the downsides of doing things to them as well.
So I want to get to the treatment of children, who should get the vaccine if it becomes available, who should not, and what the mask situation is like. I do want to turn to Israel for a second because I want to get your take on that. Obviously, Israel is a very heavily vaccinated country. 80% of their population is vaccinated. They're now giving booster shots to everybody over the age of 30. And yet they have seen this pretty significant outbreak, 10,000 cases a day being diagnosed over there or so. And they've seen an uptick in death as well. So why are we seeing that in Israel, given the fact that so much of the population is vaccinated? Is it, and it seems like by the statistics, a large percentage of people who are in the hospital right now, the majority of people in the hospital are actually vaccinated, not unvaccinated.
That's right. People who are getting into trouble with severe illness are non-naturally immune, non-vaccinated adults. Those are the people right now filling the hospitals and getting into trouble. Yeah, you know, there's going to be outbreaks that are seasonal with this virus, as there are with the other four known coronaviruses that have circulated for decades every year, and other viruses. So there is going to be a season for coronavirus. It's the summer and late summer in the South, and it's the winter in the North. It's the North, the winter in the North. So you're going to see it circulate. And when it circulates, people have to remember breakthrough infections are a mild common cold-like illness. Now, we're just seeing a lot of it right now because we still have the non-vaccinated, non-immune driving a lot of this. In the future, it'll be a much lower rate of these breakthrough infections. But these are mild cases, right? This is nothing that represents a major public health threat. And I think we haven't mentally prepared for it. We thought we were going to get COVID elimination. We sort of created, if you will, this idea that getting a vaccine was going to create a bug zapper around you, like a force field. And that was the wrong mindset around it.
And you've seen this mindset play out in the headlines and in how people are approaching the virus generally. The headlines are saying things like, well, the Pfizer vaccine is only shown to be 66% as effective 6 months out. And then you look at the actual article, and what it says is it's 66% as effective in hospital workers in terms of preventing infection, but it's still 91% effective in preventing hospitalization and death. Well, last I checked, that's the thing I care about. Like, we don't even keep statistics in the United States on how many people are diagnosed with a cold every year, because that would be very silly. Who cares? The real question is how many people are being hospitalized and dying. But we have been using the wrong metric, because I think we subtly adopted over the course of the last year a zero COVID policy, which is completely infeasible and fantastical.
There's two things that drive me crazy when I listen to the news, and I try not to. But one is, this is the number of cases. Well, most cases are diagnosed in these home kits now, and many people are not getting tested, especially kids most asymptomatic. So those cases are not real cases. It's just a little snapshot. And the other is the term efficacy, because it lumps together the efficacy against breakthrough infections or just a positive asymptomatic test and the efficacy against dying. And they're two totally different things. So when people say, oh, you know, Pfizer now, the efficacy is only 43%, I say that's against just testing positive. That has nothing to do with the efficacy against dying, and that's still 99%+. You said 91%. That's for hospitalization and death. If you break down just death, it's over 99%. I think people misperceive the efficacy number. If they hear that something has a 50% efficacy, they perceive that there's a 50% chance they could get it. That's not what efficacy means. Efficacy means of the cases in the trial, let's say there were four cases in a trial of 1,000 people. If two of them were in the placebo and two were in the vaccine group, that's a 50% efficacy.
We'll get some more with Dr. Marty Makary in just 1 second. First, let's talk about keeping your home safe and secure. That matters an awful lot to me. That is why one of the first things I did when we moved to Florida was we got Ring Alarm on our home. With my Ring Alarm security system, I'm much more at ease when I'm on the road or away from home. My Ring Alarm equals peace of mind. Protect your home with Ring Alarm. Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. It works seamlessly with other Ring products in one simple app. For a special offer, go to ring.com/Ben. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. Keep an eye on every corner of your house with the indoor and outdoor cams. See what's happening directly from your phone. I didn't realize how easy the Ring alarm was to install. I was able to install it myself. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go on over to ring.com/Ben. Get a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build a system that's right for your home, have it up and running in just minutes. That's ring.com/Ben. Again, ring.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. ring.com/Ben. Get a special offer on that Ring Alarm security kit. I rely on Ring. You should too. ring.com/Ben for the special deal. So let's talk for a second about what's going on with kids. So obviously there's been this insane sort of breakdown, partisan breakdown in the United States over masking kids. And it is crazy considering that a huge swath of European countries have already concluded it's idiotic to mask kids. The UK put out guidance saying we're not masking our children. We have the Netherlands saying we're not masking, Scandinavia saying they're not masking, Italy saying they're not masking, Spain saying they're not masking. And yet in the United States, the idea is that if you don't want to mask small children, then you are anti-science and you want kids to die. You saw Don Lemon on CNN actually make the case that you should not be a parent if you don't want to mask your kids, which I guess now applies to the hundreds of millions of people across Europe who are not masking their children. The evidence on masking kids does not exist. That doesn't even include the generalized evidence that cloth masks do not work against the Delta variant, because the Delta variant has a much higher viral load. Maybe you can talk about this masking of kids policy, which, again, people seem to be clinging on to this like some sort of bizarre religious totem, as opposed to the reality of the situation.
The quality of the mask matters when we talk about viral transmission of anything. And if you were to ask any one of these child mask mandate zealots, and I respect their opinion. I just have a different opinion. I think we can have a civil conversation. Ask them, though, what's the size of an aerosolized COVID virus? Is it 0.5 angstrom? Is it a millimeter? Is it a nanometer? They have no idea what they're talking about, okay? It's about a half of an angstrom, and the pore size of a cloth mask is 5 to 10 angstrom. So it's freely going in and out there. Now, look, if anybody wants to wear a mask, go ahead. But how does Anthony Fauci, with such vigor and universality, insist that this be done as the number one priority in schools when he's spent more money on the Wuhan Virology Institute research than he has on studying this question in a year and a half. They've had time to study, and there's a reason why no study has been conclusive. If cloth masks work for kids, and they might slightly reduce transmission by 10%, it probably ranks number 7 in mitigation steps for kids after ventilation, distancing, potting, adult vaccination, and so many other things. And we may look back, by the way, in January and realize every kid got COVID in America by January, a kid under 12. Now, there's not going to be any child vaccine before January at the earliest because the vaccine takes time to kick in after administered anyway. So we may look back and realize we put kids through a lot for no good reason. I would say just protect kids with special pre-existing conditions for now, and otherwise let kids live their lives.
So let's talk about the risk to kids and young adults. So there's been a lot of talk in the United States about who exactly should get the vaccine at this point. And it's pretty obvious that if you're above the age of 30, you really should get the vaccine, that your risks of getting symptoms, even if you don't die, the risks of getting some sort of long-lasting symptoms, including things like myocarditis, are significantly higher from getting COVID itself than from getting the vaccine. Once you hit the age of 18 and below, there start to be some pretty serious questions about what are the risks to you. And certainly once you hit 12 and below, there's some very serious questions about whether the shot of getting myocarditis from a vaccine if you are 6 outranks the risk of getting myocarditis from the virus itself if you are 6. What kind of statistics do we actually know about this sort of stuff if we're trying to figure out who should get the vaccine and who shouldn't?
Well, it's amazing to me that the politicians and public health officials have already decided that kids under 12 will need a vaccine when the trial is still ongoing. There's no results of the trial yet. That's amazing to me. It shows their pretest hypothesis is already concluded. And that's dishonest in terms of scientific methodology. It's disingenuous. Look, I think the dose is probably too high for kids. The dose of 2 doses close together was never the right dose for adults. I think the second dose should have been 3 months out. You get 3 times better protection if your second dose is 3 months out as an adult. And by the way, if you did that, as I did, you don't need to ever talk about boosters. You've got that long-term durability. With kids, that second dose is where we're seeing the complications. And the first dose alone is 100% effective in kids 12 through 15, according to an Israeli study. So why are we so rigid about the 2-dose regimen in kids? I would say, if I had a teenage kid, that if the kid has not had COVID in the past, that is, does not have natural immunity, I would do 1 dose for the kid. The second dose is where we're seeing these complications, and the first dose is very effective, but our rigid medical establishment is unwilling to depart from this sort of 2-dose regimen. Does it make sense to anyone out there listening that a heavy 50-year-old guy who weighs 400 pounds is getting the same dose as a thin 12-year-old girl? No.
All righty, more coming up with Dr. Marty Makary in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that no matter what you've got going on these days, you need a great pair of wireless earbuds. Okay, there's just an adjustment getting back out in the world, whether you are listening to a book on tape, listening to a podcast, whether you're working out and you just need some beats in your ear. Raycon can make it happen for you. Let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort. Unlike some other brands, they're not going to stick out of your ears. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really, really long time without having to recharge. And they start at half the price of the other premium audio brands. They sound just as good. Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really cannot lose. Create your own soundtrack right now with Raycon. Buy now, and my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Save 15% on your Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. I love that they come in a variety of colors, so you really can choose, and they come with a variety of fits, so you can make it fit your ear the way you want it to fit your ear. Go check them out right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Save 15% on your Raycon order today. Already coming up, more with Dr. Marty Makary going through all the details of the Delta surge. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you ever lose your balance or feel dizzy for no apparent reason? Do you hear ringing in your ears or have migraines? These are all signs you could have a problem with your inner ear or vestibular system. To learn more, call the Vestibular Disorders Helpline at 800-837-8428. That's 800-837-8428. Sponsored by the Vestibular Disorders Association.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice.
be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Mojo would swallow things whole, a chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DINOVITE.com.
On the Dynavite, all of these symptoms disappeared.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Dr. Marty McCary from Johns Hopkins University, author of The Price We Pay. So let's talk for a second about kind of general approach toward this crisis at this point. So I've come to the conclusion that we have now entered the forever pandemic. There is no actual endpoint to any of the things that are being discussed at this point. That there's going to be no level of death at which people say you can take off the masks because there could be a variant right around the corner. There's no level of cases at which people say that it's okay to take off the mask because one case is too many cases. And it doesn't matter the level of risk. We've actually now put living a normal life in the risky category for at least a large swath of the population. And so I'm wondering whether you believe that we're ever going to end some of these measures. I mean, if you see what they're doing in Australia right now by basically locking people in their homes interminably, I fail to see how, and people are willingly giving up their liberties this way. I don't see an end point here at any point.
Well, I do think one thing that is the beauty of our democracy is that public sentiment will eventually vote these people out. And that is the one thing, as you know, politicians pay attention to. And I think you're going to see serious consequences. We've got a California election coming up. I don't talk politics, but I can tell you a lot of people, regardless of their being a Republican or Democrat, are really seeing through all the phoniness around the school policies and the outdoor mask mandate that Oregon just put out there and some of this other stuff. People want to move on, and they see the total hypocrisy when Delta Airlines says we're going to fine you for not being vaccinated. What about fining people for eating potato chips or smoking or having HIV? I mean, is this really the new way we're going to approach infectious diseases? What's going to happen when influenza circulates next season? Are we going to do the same thing for influenza, or is that a benign virus? Is that a virus that we like, and COVID is just one we don't like, despite the same case fatality rate? That's where we're going right now, and I think people are going to see right through it. They're starting to, and they're going to be very fed up.
It seems to me that personal responsibility at some point is going to have to kick in, and I'm amused to see people who are on the political left say things like, well, you know, if you're unvaccinated, you really should have to pay for your own health care. And I just think to myself, okay, welcome to the libertarian camp here, gang, where you actually get to take care of your own health care because your choice is actually now redound to your either benefit or detriment health-wise.
People have lost their minds. I mean, do you think any of these people calling for vaccine mandates, say, in teenagers, have ever personally gotten their kids vaccinated for the flu in the past? No. What we're living in is a completely polarized society with a dialogue right now that's irrational. A friend of mine has his daughter at a major university, and campus police showed up at her dorm room saying, "You tested positive. We've got to take you to basically a secure location, like a hotel room, where you're going to be for 10 days. So bring a bag." What kind of society is this? People eventually are going to say, this is absurd, and we don't want to participate. I think that's why you're seeing people move to southern states and why you're going to see elections have major consequences this year.
So when you look around the world at what is going on right now, one of the other questions is when any of these countries are going to open up. Australia, obviously, has been basically on rotating lockdown for the last year and a half. They had some lockdowns early on. Then they thought they had killed off the virus because they're a giant island, and so it was Fortress Australia. And then one person got in with Delta, and now they have a spike in cases, and so they're confining people to their homes. New Zealand has done sort of the same thing. And I'm amazed at the delusion that countries can just cut themselves off from the world indefinitely and suffer no consequences for this. And the illusion that if there is that somehow we're going to eliminate future variants here from the virus. I don't understand how anybody thinks that's going to happen. The Brazil variant came from, believe it or not, Brazil. The South African variant came from, believe it or not, South Africa. And the Wuhan virus came from, believe it or not, Wuhan. None of those things were American inventions. The European variant, the original variant that struck America, came from Europe. Like, it turns out that people travel around a lot, and all it takes is one person transmitting the disease to seven other people, and all of a sudden you got an outbreak.
Well, what you're seeing, Ben, and what you're describing are the consequences of failed medical leadership at the United States, because the world looks to the United States and their medical leaders, and the CDC is the de facto the CDC of the world. So what you're describing is tragic in places like Australia, but look at Uganda, okay, an extremely poor country. They have some COVID cases. They've got an active outbreak. They tell all of the people in Uganda to stay at home, where they basically are going to get COVID because of poor ventilation indoor. We're talking, you know, Central Africa, where the outdoors is the effective, only de facto strategy against COVID. And then they get 600,000 COVID vaccines sent to their country. And the president says, we're going to use this for second doses, immediate second doses. They're following the guidance of Dr. Fauci and the medical leadership. And so the consequences of our failed medical leadership in ignoring natural immunity, in ideal COVID vaccine strategy, in spacing out the doses or focusing on first doses till you get all the vulnerable people covered, in telling people to stay at home and that being the way that you mitigate. These are the failures of the United States in our medical leadership, and they are having global consequences.
And Dr. McHarry, final question for you. We have about a minute left here. At what age, now the U.S. government is starting to push the Israeli solution of boosters, who should be getting a booster?
Well, it's so tragic to hear this conversation of boosters because, first of all, we don't have any data that boosters reduce the risk of death or hospitalization. We think that effectiveness is durable. And we may very well see that data come in. It shows that the further out you are from your narrow two-dose regimen, that you might be at increased risk of death and hospitalization. We don't have that data yet. Once that data becomes clear to me, I would say those that are older, certainly immunosuppressed, get their booster. For the young, healthy population, I'd love to see the data first. And so the hard part for me in hearing about boosters is, if we would have spaced our second doses 3 months after the first, and by the way, if you haven't got your second dose yet, do that. Wait 3 months for your second. We wouldn't be having this conversation at all, because we know with all vaccines and medicine, the longer you space out the interval, the more durable and stronger the immune protection. We've always known that with vaccines. There's no vaccine that's this close together at 3 and 4 weeks. And when you heard Moderna is better than Pfizer, it's probably because the interval is longer with Moderna than Pfizer.
That's Dr. Marty McHarry. Check out his book, The Price We Pay. He's a professor of health policy at Johns Hopkins University. He's been guiding us throughout this pandemic. Appreciate it, Dr. McHarry.
Thanks so much, Ben.
All righty. We've reached the end of a terrible week. Hopefully next week will be better. Rest up over the weekend because there's a lot more to come. The Afghan withdrawal will reach its completion, supposedly, at the beginning of next week. Plus, we're seeing rising inflation. Plus, we're seeing more Delta variant news. Better get your rest this weekend, because next week's going to be busy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Strike, acting on President Biden's vow to retaliate for Thursday's suicide attack that killed 12 U.S. Marines and a Navy corpsman. A drone strike targeted an Islamic State planter in the eastern province of Nangarhar, and the U.S. Central Command says initial indications were the target was killed. Meanwhile, the U.S. is pressing ahead with evacuation flights amid tighter security and warnings of more possible attacks.
Crowds were back outside the airport Friday despite Thursday's bloodshed. The suicide bombing killed 13 U.S. service members and well over 100 Afghans. Two officials put the Afghan toll at 169. While the day stands as one of the most lethal for American forces since 2011. At the White House, Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The national security team the president met with this morning advised the president and vice president that another terror attack in Kabul is likely.
As flights continue to depart, Amadullah Harawi tells the Associated Press he's determined to get out, saying an explosion may happen any second, but Afghans are facing lots of challenges. That's why he's overcome the fear and taking the risk to come to the airport. I'm Ben Thomas.
Hurricane Ida barreling toward the Louisiana coast. University of Miami hurricane researcher Brian McNulty says Ida will strengthen as it moves through the warm waters of the Gulf.
What we're looking at is there's a chance for quite a lot of intensification, where we could be looking at a Category 3 or 4 hurricane.
Forecasters say Ida could become extremely dangerous with top winds of 140 miles an hour. When it approaches the coast late Sunday, New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell ordered a mandatory evacuation for a small area of the city outside of the levee system. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Dan owed an unbelievable amount of money to the IRS.
I got behind on my taxes. It's a horrible feeling.
Dan turned to Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm who put his problems to rest.
They got the job done, and life is good.
Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Stop worrying. Make the call now.
Call 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433.
Optima Tax Relief.
For details, visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Turkish President Erdogan says his government's in direct talks with the Taliban about helping run Kabul airport after the departure of international forces at the end of the month.
President Erdogan says Turkish officials held talks with the Taliban for 3.5 hours, suggesting the group is open to Turkey continuing to run the airport, but crucially with the Taliban in charge of its security. The question of how Kabul airport is run and secured is crucial for the country's future. The U.S. has already said it must function for Afghanistan to have some semblance of a relationship with the world. Turkey is a member of NATO and has been part of the alliance's forces in the country. It has secured the airport for the last 6 years.
That's the BBC's Tom Bateman reporting. At a White House meeting today, President Biden met with Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, the first meeting between the two men since Bennett's election. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Liberal Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is offering some insights into his future with the High Court.
At 83, Justice Breyer is the oldest member of the High Court. He's facing growing pressure from liberals to retire soon while President Biden is in office and Democrats control the Senate. Should Republicans reclaim the majority in next year's midterm election, it would be too late for Democrats to stop them from blocking a Biden nominee. Breyer said in a New York Times interview he's mindful of the need to time his retirement carefully, but also noted he does not believe he's going to, quote, stay there till I die. Bob Agner reporting.
T-Mobile notified about 50 million customers whose personal data was stolen that it's, quote, truly sorry for the breach. CEO Mike Sievert said in a written statement the company spends a lot of effort to try to stay ahead of the criminal hackers, but this time they didn't live up to the expectations they have for themselves. You can check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. Yesterday was one of the worst days in modern American foreign policy history. Yesterday saw the death of 13 American service members and at least 90 Afghans as two explosions ripped through crowds seeking evacuation in the wake of Joe Biden's ill-fated and ridiculous, stupid pullout from Afghanistan. The tactics were bad. The strategy is worse. The geostrategic implications are grave. According to the Wall Street Journal, more than 100 people were killed, including at least 13 U.S. service members and 90 Afghans, at the Kabul airport Thursday, when two blasts ripped through crowds trying to enter the American-controlled facility, disrupting the final push of the U.S.-led evacuation effort. A suicide bomb attack at the airport's Abbey Gate was followed by an assault by gunmen, officials said. Another bomb attack took place nearby at a hotel outside the airport, according to officials. 18 U.S. service members were also injured. The Pentagon said to that 13 dead U.S. service member numbers, that could actually go up. The attack marked the deadliest day for the U.S. military in Afghanistan since 2011. So remember, the whole purpose of this operation was to prevent U.S. casualties from the Taliban. We had not had this many casualties in a single day in Afghanistan for a decade. And Joe Biden, in signal fashion, somehow brought about this result. Pretty incredible. We'd had zero combat casualties in Afghanistan, count them zero, since February of 2020. And Joe Biden pulled out all the troops. And then he handed over Kabul to the Taliban, and then the Taliban allowed in ISIS, and then ISIS proceeded to kill 13 U.S. service members, wound 18 others, and kill 100 Afghans at the same time. The attack marked the deadliest day for the U.S. military since 2011, came just 5 days before the Biden administration's deadline for the complete military withdrawal from the country. And this may not be the end. Marine Corps General Frank McKenzie has said the military expects more attacks. It is a full-scale disaster area. And it was brought about completely and utterly by our incompetent, foolish president. And I'm not sure what is worse, what the president thinks when he is with us or the fact that he is not with us. Like, I don't know whether to blame the fact that he is senile or the fact that he is incompetent, because he's had these crappy ideas on foreign policy every step of the way. As Barack Obama once famously said, never underestimate Joe's ability to things up. Okay, so the man has not been right on a single foreign policy issue his entire career. And he's been holding this perspective, which is that we should just cut and run from Afghanistan, since 2010, despite the fact that the mission radically changed from 2014 on, when the United States and NATO dramatically withdrew troops, moving from 70, 80,000 troops in Afghanistan every year down to about 10,000 troops. And at the very end of this mission, 2,500 troops in Afghanistan acting as a cork in the bottle. And Joe Biden decided that we were going to pull out, and then everything that happened was going to happen. Now, what you're hearing from Joe Biden's defenders is, well, this is why we needed to leave, don't you see? This is why. Okay, that is a bizarre argument. So here is my argument. My argument is that Joe Biden's decision to leave and his decision to leave in the way that he left meant that this was going to happen, and then it happened. The proof that I was right, and the proof that everyone who criticized Joe Biden was correct, is that everything we said would pass came to pass. That is the proof. Joe Biden's argument is, if we had stayed, the same thing would have happened. The evidence of this has not been provided. The suggestion that Joe Biden has been making, which is that if we stayed, inevitably we would be drawn back into an Afghan war involving tens of thousands of American troops, is asinine on its face. There is no evidence to support that. And yet that is the entire justification for a thing that he did that has now resulted in precisely the result that he said he was attempting to avoid. This president is a joke. This policy was a joke. The bravery of our guys in the face and women who are there in the face of what the limits that have been placed on them by this stupid, half-assed administration led by the vaunted foreign policy team that brought you the Iran deal and the Iraq pullout leading to the riots of ISIS. Those same people have constructed this one. The bravery of the American service members who have put themselves in harm's way under these restrictions is awe-inspiring. Obviously, our prayers go out for their families at this hour. It is unbelievable. I mean, they knew that they didn't have enough people to hold the surrounding area of the airport. They knew that Joe Biden had restricted them from going in and performing evacuation missions. They knew that there weren't enough people on the ground, not enough boots on the ground to even do their own security. And yet they were in close contact with Afghans and Americans trying to get them out of the country. It's just, it's awe-inspiring stuff. And this is the result of crappy policy, of unbelievably horrific policy, an immoral policy. It is an immoral policy. What Joe Biden did here is immoral. On every level, it is immoral. According to the New York Times, President Biden and other U.S. officials insisted that the carnage and continued danger would not halt the American-led airlift that, after a belated and rocky start, has ferried more than 100,000 people out of Afghanistan in the last 2 weeks. Estimates of the total dead and wounded differed and were rising quickly as different hospitals and officials weighed in. Since the Taliban takeover earlier this month, thousands of Afghan civilians and foreign citizens have gathered at the gates of the airport, which has a military and civilian side, desperate to be airlifted out of the country. At times, the area has descended into chaos as people scrambled toward evacuation flights. Two U.S. military officials said evacuation flights were continuing, though it was not clear whether any gates at the airport were open. Most of the bombing victims were Afghan civilians, including families with small children. We've been seeing the videos over the past few days of what it looked like at Abbey Gate, directly outside of the airport. And basically, it looked like a corridor that was completely jam-packed with humanity. In the aftermath of the bombing, the video is available. The bodies of those same people are visible, littering the ground, covering it, blanketing the ground. And then today, after the bombing, how bad are things about to be in Afghanistan? Things are about to be so bad in Afghanistan with the Taliban taking over and ISIS and Al-Qaeda in cahoots with the Taliban, at least insofar as performing anti-American acts of terror and anti-Western acts of terror. Things are about to be so bad there that people are still thronging the exact area where 115 people were blown up yesterday. That's how bad things are. Can you imagine in your own life doing that? You went to a crowded area. There was a bombing there the next day. And you went back there to same crowd. You decided to go back there the next day knowing the threat was still there. That's how bad things are over in Afghanistan. And that is completely the creation of Joe Biden. The excuses that have been made by the Biden administration for turning tail and running. And that's what's going to happen here, right? I mean, we are going to turn tail. We're going to run. We're going to remove all of our troops. We're going to leave Americans stuck there and Afghan citizens stuck there and American green card holders stuck there and people who worked with us stuck there. We're not talking like a few dozen. We're talking thousands of people. We're going to leave to the mercies of the Taliban or ISIS or Al-Qaeda, whoever gets to them first. And that's the fate that Americans can await in Afghanistan. If ISIS reaches you first, presumably they'll behead you. If the Taliban reaches you, they will presumably hold you hostage until Joe Biden pays them some money or gives them some more billions of dollars in American military gear. Brought about completely by Joe Biden. Now, all of this could have been prevented, even if you believed in the pullout, which again, I think is idiotic policy. I think that the arguments made that, oh, we had to end our endless war. It doesn't count as an endless war when you have 2,500 troops on the ground and zero combat casualties for the last 18 months. In that case, Bali is an endless war. Our troop presence in South Korea is an endless war. Our troop presence in Italy is an endless war. When you're not taking combat casualties and you have a small footprint, that does no longer count as an endless war. But in any case, even if you believe that we should have been pulling the troops out, doing so without even securing the airbase that has multiple runways, without leaving enough troops on the ground to create a buffer zone around that airport, is full-scale idiocy. General Mark Milley was asked just a week ago about why we withdrew, for example, from Bagram Air Base, which, remember, we controlled. His answer was that the choice was given to him to go down to 600 to 700 troops. And he was asked, do we protect Bagram Air Base or do we protect the embassy? And he recommended we protect the embassy. The problem there is the limit put on him by Joe Biden. Joe Biden owns this one top to bottom. Liz Sly of the Washington Post reported yesterday the Kabul airport attack has nixed hopes of evacuation for the last 1,000 still hoping to make it out. I'm hearing the U.S. military is sealing shut the airport gates. The casualty numbers are growing by the minute, a tragedy piled on a tragedy. Alex Thompson, the White House reporter and co-author of Politico's West Wing Playbook, wrote, increasingly looking like the U.S. will end up leaving behind 1,000-plus Americans, and many times as many Afghans who assisted the United States will have to try to evacuate them in different ways after August 31st without U.S. troop presence. The State Department says, we're in contact with the roughly 1,000 Americans we believe remain in Afghanistan. Notice the language here. They're excluding green card holders. Right? Green card holders are people who have the legal right to live in the United States, legal permanent residents of the United States. Remember, for the media and for the government, green card holders matter. When the Saudis are killing them, when the Taliban are killing them, they don't matter at all. When Jamal Khashoggi, a legal green card holder of the United States, is murdered by the Saudi government, that precipitates an international relations crisis. When thousands of American green card holders are left in Afghanistan behind enemy lines, this is not worthy of mention. According to the State Department, however, the vast majority, over two-thirds of those 1,000 Americans believe that remaining in Afghanistan, informed us they were taking steps to leave. We believe many, if not most, of those individuals are nearly or already out. Oh, well, so that only leaves a few hundred, which is significantly better. Well done, guys. The Pentagon released a statement in the immediate aftermath, giving thoughts and prayers to the wounded. And the Taliban, of course, said it's not our fault. They said it was the U.S.'s fault. The U.S. didn't do proper security. Okay, all of this is madness. But the truest madness of all is the weaponry that we handed to the Taliban, the trust we have now placed in the Taliban. That trust, by the way, means that we literally gave them a list of people to go kill. Okay, so let's start with the weaponry that we're leaving in Afghanistan. So Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, he listed off yesterday the resources we just left to the Taliban.
The Taliban now has access to over $85 billion worth of American military equipment. That includes 75,000 vehicles, over 200 airplanes and helicopters, over 600,000 small arms and light weapons. The Taliban now has more Black Hawk helicopters than 85% of the countries in the world. But they don't just have weapons. They also have night vision goggles, body armor, medical supplies, and unbelievably, unfathomable to me and so many others, is that the Taliban now has biometric devices, which have the fingerprints, eye scans, and the biographical information of the Afghans who helped us over the last 20 years.
So all that's going well. And by the way, if that doesn't mean that we failed here, how about the fact that in order to facilitate the evacuation, apparently, U.S. officials in Kabul, you ready for this? They gave the Taliban a list of names of American citizens, green card holders, and Afghan allies. They gave them a list. The Taliban, the same people who harbored al-Qaeda before 9/11 and refused to turn them over after 9/11, the same people who have slaughtered tens of thousands of people in Afghanistan, including thousands of American troops. We gave them a list, not just of Americans, but of Afghan allies and green card holders who we are about to abandon in Afghanistan. We gave them a list. So now all they have to do is find those people and kill them. We did that. According to Politico, the move, detailed to Politico by three U.S. and congressional officials, was designed to expedite the evacuation of tens of thousands of people from Afghanistan as chaos erupted. It also came as the Biden administration has been relying on the Taliban for security outside the airport. Since the fall of Kabul in mid-August, nearly 100,000 people have been evacuated, most of whom had to pass through the Taliban's many checkpoints. But the decision to provide specific names to the Taliban, which has a history of brutally murdering Afghans who collaborated with the United States and other coalition forces during the conflict, has angered lawmakers and military officials. Basically, they just put all those Afghans on a kill list, said one defense official. It's just appalling and shocking. It makes you feel unclean. Yes. And so in just a second, we'll get to the administration's response to all of this, because it is astonishing. It is degrading. It demonstrates that the greatest power in world history has been laid low by our own bloated inefficiency, stupidity, and lack of moral rigor. That we have decided as a society, if we decide to okay this sort of behavior, we have decided as a society, as I said yesterday, to fatten ourselves up, eat a bunch of potato chips, slip into a warm bath, and slit our own wrists. As a society, that is what we have decided to do if this is the sort of action by an administration we have decided to okay politically. It's unbelievable. And by the way, it came from the top. This was no one else's decision. The buck stops with Biden. Biden was the formulator of this policy. Biden was the advocate of this policy. Biden is the person who lied repeatedly on behalf of this policy. We'll go through the timeline in just a little while here as to how many times this administration lied leading up to the murder of 13 American service members in Afghanistan. And it may not be the end of the story in terms of how many people are murdered in this immediate round. And it certainly isn't going to be the end of the story in terms of the geopolitical ramifications of giving our enemies half of our military technology via Afghanistan, as well as the impetus to move against all of our allies. We'll get to all of this in just one second. First, you know, it can be overwhelming to perform at your best as you age. There's a lot going on. You got career, family, staying in shape. Life can get stressful. You start to slow down. You're not present when you want to be. To perform at your best, physically and mentally, you can't let age beat you. This is where M-Drive can help. M-Drive is the daily supplement for driven men who don't want to slow down, who refuse to be tired every day, who want to be the best at what they do. It's packed with clinically tested ingredients that support healthy testosterone levels while helping you lose weight and stay lean. Added vitamins and nutrients reduce stress and boost your drive so you can perform at your best. Find it at Walgreens and other retailers, or visit mdrive4men.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. They have free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you really have nothing to lose. M-Drive. It's not for everyone. It's for the driven. mdrive4men.com, promo code Ben. That's the letter M, drive4men.com. Use promo code Ben. You get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. They have free shipping, a 60-day money-back guarantee. Again, give it a try. See if it works for you. mdrive4men.com. Use promo code Ben. Alrighty, coming up, the first public statements from the administration came yesterday from the Pentagon. We'll get into it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At FinancePal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At FinancePal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized.
Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325.
Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
COVID-19 has changed everything for the children of the world. Since the earliest days of the pandemic, we've been on the ground providing children food, educational resources, and basics no child should be without. To learn more, visit savethechildren.org/together. This year, join us and make change for children. Visit savethechildren.org/together. Sponsored by Save the Children.
She's a purebred, orange and white Brittany. But when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out.
DinoVite.com.
So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dinovite is nutrition.
You get some Dinovite. How happy your dog will be.
A Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
DinoVite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So for hours after the attacks yesterday, there was no one, no face to actually ask questions to. Then the Pentagon had a press conference. The person who was speaking via telephone was General Kenneth McKenzie of CENTCOM. And he admitted, we are now relying on the Taliban for security. That's what we did. We decided that what would be a great idea, just follow the logic here for a second. We said to the Taliban, it is now your job to prevent terrorists from attacking United States interests. Now, if only we had some sort of historical incident that might tell us whether that's a good idea or not. If only we had some sort of predicate to determine whether it would be a great idea to trust the Taliban to fight terrorism. Like, let's say that there had been a power in Afghanistan from 1996 to 2001. And let's say that they had harbored a fugitive named Osama bin Laden and his entire Al-Qaeda network base. And let's say that from Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda had then launched attacks on U.S. embassies in Kenya, Tanzania, on the USS Cole, and finally and most spectacularly on September 11th. And let's say that the United States had then approached the Taliban and said, guys, you need to hand over bin Laden or we're going to destroy your entire regime. And they had said, fine, come get us. Why, it's almost as though when you trust the Taliban to prevent terrorism, they immediately proceed. I mean, immediately. The Taliban has been in charge of Kabul for less than 10 days. They immediately proceed to let in all the terrorists. Remember, Joe Biden said that the mission in Afghanistan was to prevent terrorism. I've noticed a few terrorists in Afghanistan recently. I don't know if you noticed it. I noticed it among, like, all the dead bodies of the babies and the U.S. service members. I noticed there was a little terrorism that the Taliban had been not only okay with, but they were the ones in charge of security. And yet, the U.S. has now been forced into the position of relying on a bunch of, a bunch of barbarian 8th century goat herders who have now seized our equipment because we are pathetic. And I mean our political leadership, not our military, our political leadership. And some members of our military leadership as well, because somebody needs to lose their ass over this. Somebody needs to get fired. Okay, and by the way, the person who should resign is Joe Biden, who is a disgrace to his office. But don't worry, we'll get to slow, old, senile Joe in a second. Okay, here is the general of CENTCOM, Kenneth McKenzie, explaining, don't worry, we're relying on the Taliban for security, and so far it's been going great, guys.
We believe it is their desire to continue those attacks, and we expect those attacks to continue. And we're doing everything we can to be prepared for those attacks. That includes reaching out to the Taliban, who are actually providing the outer security cordon around the airfield, to make sure they know what we expect them to do to protect us. And we will continue to coordinate with them as they go forward.
They're protecting us now, the Taliban. Now, McKenzie was asked a pretty obvious question, which is, do we even know if the Taliban let this happen? Because here's the thing. The Taliban have they have very little interest in preventing this sort of stuff. Because, as we will see, the United States has no ability, capacity, or will to hold them accountable. What exactly is the Taliban's interest in preventing terror attacks on American targets? Humiliating America in the face of the Taliban, weakening America in the face of the Taliban. What is the Taliban's actual interest? Except they are afraid of U.S. retaliation. And if you remove the threat of U.S. retaliation from the Taliban, which is precisely what this administration has done, why exactly do they care? I'm not even saying that they coordinated the attack. I'm saying, why would they care if the attack takes place if you're not holding them responsible? So here was McKenzie explaining, we don't even know if the Taliban let this happen. We have no idea.
Do you still trust the Taliban, and is it possible that they let this happen?
So as to whether or not they let it happen, I don't know. I don't think there's anything to convince me that they let it happen. As to whether or not I trust them, that's a word I use very carefully. You've heard me say before, it's not what they say, it's what they do. They have a practical reason for wanting us to get out of here by the 31st of August. And that's that they want to reclaim the airfield. We want to get out by that day too, if it's going to be possible to do so.
Okay. And, our reaction, by the way, here's the reality. They want us out. We want to get out. And if there's a terrorist attack, we're still getting out. So now what's their interest? You skewed the incentive structure, you idiots. You skewed the incentive structure. If there's no retaliatory response requiring a longer American president, why does the Taliban care if Americans get murdered in large numbers? Or American citizens, or Afghans outside the gates? Alrighty, coming up, the President of the United States, God help us, then decided it was time to speak to the American people. It was disgraceful. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
You want to make a real difference for patients. You want to provide quality, compassionate care. Your work environment should feel like family. You appreciate flexibility.
One of the things I love about working at Shasta Regional is I feel valued as a staff member. They're like family.
If you're ready to work in an environment that supports you, come see the difference at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Join SRMC for an open house and job fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. $15,000 sign-on bonuses are offered for all RNs hired. Meet their directors, talk to current staff, see and feel the difference in an environment that supports you so you can care for our community at the SRMC Job Fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, visit www.ShastaRegional.com or message them on Facebook. Come experience Shasta Regional Medical Center, where passionate people provide quality care. Shasta Regional Medical Center Job Fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out. Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always write selfishly.
Tracy Morgan for the American Rescue Plan.
People often look at me and think I'm a fireman. So when they came to me and said, Chief, tell them about the American Rescue Plan. I jumped down a fire pole
and I got to work.
Ma'am, do you have any kids at home?
Oh, yes, I do, handsome fireman.
Let's keep this professional. But what if I could put out some of your financial fires? Up to $300 per month per child. It could rescue you.
Claim your money at MyRescuePlan.org. That's MyRescuePlan.org.
Furnished by Common Sense Media.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. For the President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden is a disgrace to his office, and he proved it once and for all last night. He had called a presser for 5 p.m. in which he was going to speak, and he then showed up at approximately 5:25, which is his wont. Barack Obama used to do the same thing. It is highly irritating on a day when you're supposed to be speaking to the family members of dead service people. You really should show up on time. So that was, you know, of minor consequence. What was of major consequence is this befuddled, senility-ridden old man, incapable of running his own administration, incapable of coming up with coherent policy, presiding over an administration that withdrew from Afghanistan for no apparent reason, for no gain. We get nothing out of this. We withdrew for no reason whatsoever. And then we proceeded to withdraw in the stupidest possible way while lying every step of the way. And now we are trusting the Taliban to do our security. And now we are giving the Taliban kill lists of people who worked with us. This fool, this ridiculous fool, he should, if he had any honor at all, he'd resign. Of course he won't. He is a disgrace to his office. He's a disgrace to the United States. It saddens me to see our president, because he is the elected president of the United States, the fact that our president is this is an embarrassment. It is a moral, embarrassment. His presence in the Oval Office is a blot on the office. And that's saying a lot, because we've had a lot of bad presidents in the past. This is the most disgraceful foreign policy decision and act of malpractice I've seen in my entire lifetime. And for people older than me, it's still true. He decided apparently that the best foreign policy here was a mashup of the fall of Saigon, the Iran hostage crisis, the bombing of the U.S. barracks in Lebanon in 1982, and Iran-Contra shipping weapons to the enemy. For no gain, actually. At least in Iran-Contra, we were attempting to do something good. Here we just handed over $85 billion in military equipment to the worst people on Earth. So Joe Biden finally wanders out to the microphones, and he begins. And I have to say, I was shocked by his appearance. He has looked as though he is falling apart for a long time. He looked barely warmed over. He sounded awful. He was stumbling over every word. He was utterly incoherent. It was as though he had just escaped from a nursing home. It was an just visually speaking, optically speaking, it was an amazingly embarrassing moment. Here's the president. This is what it sounded like when the president of the United States said, remember, this is the day 13 American service members were murdered by terrorists on his watch because of policies he created. And instead of him coming out there and looking strong and tough, instead of him coming out there and looking as though our enemies should be afraid of us, he looked beaten, he looked defeated, he looked not just old, but decrepit. Here was Joe Biden yesterday.
A tough day. This evening in Kabul, as you all know, terrorists attacked that we've been talking about, worried about, that the intelligence community has assessed, has undertaken an attack by a group known as ISIS-K, took the lives of American service members.
That's how he opened. That was his opening. And that alone, America's enemies must be drooling over this person. They must be drooling over the dead horse that we've thrown out there. Okay, then he moved on in his speech to paying tribute to the service members, but he couldn't help himself. He had to then brag about the effectiveness of this evacuation mission. He's still using the talking points from 48 hours ago. You remember, about 48 hours ago, the administration started moving on from the talking point of this is a brilliant idea to our evacuation has been shockingly successful, you know, with the Afghans falling from the wheel wells of planes onto the tarmac. You know, the evacuation is actually a bit, like, we deserve credit. Yesterday, the DNC was sending out emails bragging about how successful this evacuation was, which, as I said on the show, is the equivalent of the captain of that Titanic not accidentally hitting the iceberg, deliberately looking at the iceberg, saying, I'm going to ram this sucker directly into the iceberg. The boat starts taking on water. He rushes up to the top deck. He unleashes the lifeboats. He says, everybody in the lifeboats, 2/3 of the people get out. And he says, what an unbelievable captain I am. I have set the Guinness Book of World Records record for the most people evacuated from a lifeboat. Okay, that is what the administration has been doing. So he's paying tribute to the service members yesterday who deserve all the credit in the world, but he can't help himself praising his own mission here.
These American service members who gave their lives, it's an overused word, but it's totally appropriate here, were heroes. Heroes who have been engaged in a dangerous, selfless mission to save the lives of others. They're a part of an airlift, an evacuation effort unlike any seen in history, with more than 100,000 American citizens, American partners, Afghans who helped us, and others taking the safety.
Again, that's him praising his own mission. That's him praising his own mission, which is a failure. And then Joe Biden did what the media love when he does. He did the empathy thing. Right. And by empathy, it means that he tried to speak to what it feels like to be in this. You know what? None of those families would be mourning their sons and daughters today. None of them, if it had not been for this man's policies. So I wonder how many of them really want to hear it from the president of the United States. But this is what he was elected to do. He was elected to empathize, not to proceed with good policy, not to protect Americans, because we're going to leave at the very least hundreds, probably thousands of Americans and green card holders behind enemy lines. He was elected to emote. He's the emoter in chief. And so here he was last night trying to paper over his gross incompetence and malpractice with a bit of sentimentality.
We have some sense, like many of you do, what the families of these brave heroes are feeling today. You get this feeling like you're being sucked into a black hole in the middle of your chest. There's no way out. My heart aches for you.
This is utterly insincere. I'm sorry, it is. You are responsible for that policy. You're responsible. I'd love to hear from the members of the military families as to what they feel. Because there are 17 million people who served in the American military over the course of time who are alive in the United States right now. 800,000 people have served in Afghanistan proper. And I've talked to many, many Afghan war veterans, over the course of the last several weeks. I can't name one of them who wants to hear emoting from Joe Biden as he proceeds to sully their legacy, subject all of their allies to the threat of death from the Taliban, and now to actual death at the hands of ISIS-K. Okay, then Joe Biden had to make excuses for the Taliban. Right, so here's part of the policy. Part of the policy is now, just as it was with the Iran deal with the Obama administration, that once you make a deal with the devil, you have to make excuses for why the devil isn't actually the devil. Now Joe Biden is making excuses for the Taliban. So remember, the entire incentive structure for the Taliban to protect Americans as they leave is that if the Taliban don't, we might stay and retaliate against them. But Joe Biden has removed all of that by making excuses for the Taliban because he has to cover his own political ass in case the Taliban turn out to be the bad guys we know they are. So here he was yesterday blaming ISIS-K, but relieving the Taliban of responsibility. That was the important thing.
Over the past few weeks, I know many of you are probably tired of hearing me say it.
Yes.
We've been made aware by our intelligence community that the ISIS-K, an arch enemy, the Taliban, people who were freed when both those prisons were opened, has been planning a complex set of attacks on the United States personnel and others. This is why, from the outset, I've repeatedly said this mission was extraordinarily dangerous, and on why I've been so determined to limit the duration of this mission.
Okay, so our mush-mouthed president then makes a mush-headed argument. This is his argument all the way through. If bad things happened in Afghanistan because we took the cork out of the bottle, then clearly they would have happened if we hadn't taken the cork out of the bottle. That is the argument. So if we did X and Y happened, then certainly if we had not done X, Y definitely would have happened, but way worse. I'm sorry, but your counterfactual no longer applies. You did X and Y happened, and it was perfectly predictable that Y would happen. So, by the way, he's now making excuses for why we should cut and run. So there is a bombing. It kills Americans. Instead of him saying, we're going to stay long enough to get every American citizen out, and if you touch us, we will kill you, which is what any normal American president would say. His argument is, look, something bad happened yesterday. That's an excuse for us to get out even faster. It just shows why we need to get out super fast. Okay, then Joe Biden says, we're going to complete the mission. Okay, but of course, he has defined the mission as getting out by August 31st. The timeline is the mission for Joe Biden. Normally, you define the timeline on the back of what you need to accomplish. Normally, if I decide that we need, as a company, to achieve a certain thing, we then say, how long will it take to achieve this thing? And then we define the timeline by what we are seeking to achieve. In this particular case, Joe Biden defined the timeline, and the mission is now the timeline, which means a lot of people are going to get stuck over there. Here is Joe Biden trying to make excuses for this.
We can and we must complete this mission, and we will. And that's what I've ordered them to do. We will not be deterred by terrorists. We will not let them stop our mission. We will continue the evacuation. I've also ordered my commanders to develop operational plans to strike ISIS-K assets, leadership, and facilities. We will respond with force and precision at our time, at the place we choose, in the moment of our choosing.
Okay, that part is the best part, right? So he says, we're going to get them. We're going after them. We're going to sometime in the future, later, when I want to, not right now. That's what that means. That means ISIS just killed Americans, and they're going to get away with it. Because guess what? In 3 days, okay, it is now the 27th. In 3 to 4 days, we are gone. We do not have any assets on the ground. We do not have any allies on the ground. We don't have eyes on the ground. Okay, all this talk about how we are going to go after the ISIS, he's hoping you forget. That's what's going to happen here. Okay, that's what he's hoping. Of course he wasn't going to say, because for him to retaliate now means you need more troops on the ground, not fewer. So instead, he's just doing this, we'll push it off, you know. We'll get them at a time. It sounds strong. It is actually weak, obviously. Okay, and then he just tells a series of lies that are meant to make you feel comfortable, but are just lies.
Here's what you need to know. These ISIS terrorists will not win. We will rescue the Americans in there.
Nope.
We will get our Afghan allies out.
Nope.
And our mission will go on.
Nope.
America will not be intimidated.
Nope. That's four direct lies five, actually, in a row. The ISIS terrorists will not win. They already have you handed them Kabul. We will rescue the Americans in there. You're not. We haven't been doing large-scale extraction missions to rescue Americans in there. And you've already admitted hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans will remain after we leave. We'll get our Afghan allies out. Nope. You just handed a list of them to the Taliban so the Taliban can go shoot them and kill their families. Our mission will go on. Nope. Your mission is over in 4 days. America will not be intimidated. Too late, you jackass. Too late. You're the president of the United States babbling nonsensically like a mental ward patient about how the Taliban are our friends now. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden had some blame for everyone else. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS.
606-695-3237, which spells 606 My Leads, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text info to 606 My Leads, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart.
Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there.
Heather's arm is in motion, but she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Furnished by Stand Up to Cancer.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At FinancePal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At FinancePal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized.
Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325.
Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Porkchops, his coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, he's blaming everybody at this point. His military commanders, Trump, not himself, not the Taliban, God forbid. No. But he was trying to shift the blame yesterday, no question. So as we'll see later, he tried to blame Trump. But he blames his military commanders by saying, we were all unanimous on this. No, you weren't. And we have information suggesting your military commanders were basically all warning you back in February, March, that this was going to happen. And you ignored them because you are a nitwit. Here is our nitwitted president of the United States.
There has been complete unanimity from every commander on the objectives of this mission.
Nope. Unless by unanimity on the objectives of the mission, you mean you told them exactly what you wanted to happen and how many troops they could have to do it, and then they had to somehow scramble to make that happen for you. Okay, so Joe Biden concludes his speech. And again, so much of this was optic as well, if you watched it in real time. He's just not there. He's not there. I won't even say that the lights are on, but nobody's home. The lights are not even on. Several of the light bulbs are out. There was the President of the United States who was an embarrassing display last night.
May God bless you all, and may God protect his troops and all those standing watch for America. We have so much to do. It's within our capacity to do it. We just have to remain steadfast. Steadfast. We will complete our mission, and we will continue after our troops are withdrawn to find means by which we can find any American who wishes to get out of Afghanistan. We will find them, and we will get them out.
So that is him admitting that Americans are going to be left behind, fully, in his doddering and confused fashion. Okay, then he took a few questions from a list. As always. And he admits, right up front, they gave me a list. Who is they? You know, have you ever heard, it's such a weird tick. And he does it nearly all the time now. They gave me a list. Who, your night nurse? Who gave you the list? Why do you have a list? Why can't you just call on people? Are you incapable of pointing your finger? Here was Joe Biden explaining. They, you know, the same nice lady who gives me my pills every morning gave me this list here.
Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
The first person I was instructed to call on. What in the actual... Okay, so, one of the first questions is, did you make a mistake in working with the Taliban? And of course he's like, I've never made a mistake in my entire life.
And some criticism, even from people in your party, about the dependence on the Taliban to secure the perimeter of the airport. Do you feel like there was a mistake made in that regard?
No, I don't. Look, no one trusts them. We're just counting on their self-interest to continue to generate their activities. And it's in their self-interest that we leave when we said, and that we get as many people out as we can.
That last part is just a lie. Why is it in their interest that we get as many people out as we can? It's in their interest that we leave when we say we're going to leave because they want us out. That part's true. But you already guaranteed we're leaving. So there's no countervailing factor there. If I say, I'm leaving no matter what. No matter what. Which is what Biden has said over and over and over and over again. What's the obligation on them? And by the way, it is not in their interest that everybody leaves with the United States. It's very much in their interest that they have a bunch of hostages that they can hold over the head of the United States. So the U.S. has no option but continuing to funnel them money and make nice with them. Everybody knows this. Okay, now, it's pretty incredible. He is asked specifically at one point about this Politico story I mentioned earlier, that the United States handed a list, essentially a kill list, to the Taliban. And Joe Biden is not with us. He is not in the loop. He is not mentally there. This is an amazing, unbelievable, discombobulated answer.
So, yes, there have been occasions like that. And to the best of my knowledge, in those cases, the bulk of that has occurred. They've been let through. But I can't tell you with any certitude that there's actually been a list of names. I know there may have been, but I know of no circumstance. It doesn't mean it didn't exist. That here's the names of 12 people. They're coming. Let them through. It could very well have happened.
That very well could have happened. You're the president of the United States of America. Isn't it of relevance to you whether the U.S. military under your direct command is handing lists of Afghans who worked with us to the Taliban? It very well could have happened. Alrighty then, this is just, it's so beautiful. He's asked, does he bear responsibility for this? And Joe Biden's like, this is by Peter Doocy. And he says he does bear responsibility, but, here we go.
I bear responsibility for fundamentally all that's happened of late. But here's the deal. You know, I wish you'd one day say these things. You know as well as I do that the former president made a deal with the Taliban.
Okay, again, you know that I take the blame, but it's Trump. But it's Trump. Weird, because you said in an open interview that whether or not Trump had done anything, you would have done exactly the same thing. And then, of course, he poses the false alternative. We had to do it this way, this unbelievably crappy way, or we'd have to pour thousands of more troops into Afghanistan. And also, we've accomplished our objectives, which is weird, because our objective presumably was to fight terrorism, as Joe Biden's about to say. I noticed some terrorism yesterday against Americans.
I'd have only one alternative. Pour thousands of more troops back into Afghanistan to fight a war that we had already won relative to why the reason we went in the first place. I have never been of the view.
Okay, we can stop it there. When he says that we could fight four more troops into Afghanistan to fight a war we had already won relative to why we went, and then he says, we went to prevent al-Qaeda from being in Afghanistan. Well, you know what was preventing al-Qaeda from being in Afghanistan? Us being there with a skeleton crew of 2,500 people. That's what was happening. Okay, the lasting images from this presser are not going to be any of the things he said. It's just going to be the images. And there were two particular ones that came out. One was Joe Biden, like a small child being called on in class without having done his homework, burying his face in the podium, essentially, as Peter Doocy asks him a difficult question. Here's what that looked like.
No, wait a minute. I'm asking you a question. Is that accurate, the best of your knowledge?
What? I don't think that the issue is, do you think that people have an issue with pulling out of Afghanistan or just the way that things have happened?
I think they have an issue.
That image of the old man clutching a binder to his chest and lowering his head as though he is being victimized and put upon. After 13 American service members die in service to his garbage mission. That is an unbelievable image. And then it finishes with him saying he has to leave because, you know, he has another meeting. For real, guys. For real.
You said you squarely stand by your decision to pull out.
Yes, I do. Because look at it this way, folks. And I have another meeting for real.
I have another meeting for real. Oh, as opposed to for fake. What a disgrace he is. What a disgrace he is. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. A warning to President Biden from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, your day of reckoning will come over the botched pullout from Afghanistan.
McCarthy says there's no doubt President Biden will be held accountable for the deaths of U.S. service members outside the Kabul airport on Thursday. Responding to calls from some GOP colleagues that the president be impeached or forced to resign, McCarthy turned the focus to the crisis at hand, the safe rescue of all U.S. citizens by the president's August 31st deadline. When the deadline passes, McCarthy says it will be time to hold the president accountable for what he calls the lies that have been given, the missed decisions that have put Americans in harm's way, and a decision to leave Americans behind. Bob Agnew reporting.
New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell ordering people outside the city's levee protection system to evacuate. Forecasters say Ida made landfall in Cuba as a hurricane and could grow to an extremely dangerous Category 4 storm with top winds of 140 miles an hour when it slams into Louisiana, expected on Sunday. The man who murdered a presidential frontrunner in 1968 has been given the green light by California's parole board.
Sirhan Sirhan, Senator Robert F. Kennedy's assassin, has been granted parole. A two-person panel of the California Parole Board recommended Sirhan's release after his 16th parole hearing. Two of RFK's sons spoke in favor of Sirhan's release, and prosecutors declined to participate or oppose his release under a policy by Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon. However, release for the 77-year-old Sirhan is not assured. The ruling by the two-person panel will be reviewed over the next 90 days by the California Parole Board staff. It will then be sent to the governor, who will have 30 days to grant it, reverse it, or modify the ruling. I'm Mike Gracia.
Maryland's highest court will reconsider the punishment of Lee Boyd Malvo. He's serving life without parole for sniper attacks that terrorized Washington, D.C. region back in 2002. More at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax-and-spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A-plus BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
Consumer spending slowed a bit last month as inflation continues to pick up.
The Commerce Department reports consumer spending rose just 0.3% in July, markedly slower than in June when it grew by 1.1%. At the same time, the prices consumers paid were 4.2% higher than July of last year, the biggest rise in inflation since 1991. But incomes rose a solid 1.1% in July, reflecting in part the strong job gains seen last month. Overall, the report offers the clearest signal yet that the surge in the Delta variant of the coronavirus is having an impact on consumer spending, which is the driving force in the economy. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The Biden administration's forecasting this year's budget deficit will be $555 billion, but even with the improvement, it's forecasting a deficit of $3.12 trillion for the budget year ending September 30th. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Liberty University announced a temporary campus-wide quarantine on Thursday amid a spike in COVID-19 cases. Heath Peters has the story from Washington.
The quarantine is set to begin Monday and last until September 10th. The university's online COVID-19 dashboard shows 159 known active cases among students, faculty, and staff as of Wednesday. As the fall semester began this week, the university, which doesn't require vaccination, lifted building capacity restrictions and distancing and masking requirements. The protocol changed late Thursday with the announcement of the campus-wide quarantine, moving classes online and suspending large indoor gatherings. The university will encourage masking and social distancing and host vaccine clinics on campus, but didn't indicate it would mandate those measures. Keith Peters reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearm Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
We made clear to the Taliban that any attack on our forces or disruption of our operations at the airport will be met with swift and forceful response.
That was Joe Biden on August 20th. As the old saying goes, that was then, this is now. We have a weak, confused, befuddled, inept, incompetent, never particularly intelligent president of the United States who's been wrong about everything for four decades. And now he's president of the United States where it really matters. And yesterday's horrific and tragic events make that abundantly clear. Welcome once again. We are at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number. And while we were on the air yesterday, there were reports breaking out that there had been a bombing, an attack. First, it was just shots fired, and then reports of a detonation, a bomb going off, then reports of a suicide attack and bombing, and then reports as they continued to roll in had it that there was a suicide bomber and a gunfight. It turned out mostly to be true. Then they reports of a second suicide bombing attack nearby at a hotel, and that turned out to be true. Initially, the reports were that we had three. First, it happened outside the gate, and there were no reports of U.S. casualties. Then we had reports that three U.S. Marines had been wounded in the attack, and then it continued to get worse and worse throughout the day. And you know what the final outcome is, and it's a real tragedy, a radical Islamic jihadi terrorist attack, murdered 13 Americans and wounded 18 more Americans at the same time. They murdered a total of 108 people, 108 people killed, plus about 140 wounded, 95 Afghans murdered by the troglodyte murderers of, and it's ISIS-K. The special K designation attaching the Greek alphabet like it's the Wuhan doesn't really float my boat. It's ISIS. And if I remember correctly, President Trump stamped out ISIS in short order when he became president after the Obama-Biden administration breathed life into them by pulling out of General Lloyd Austin, now Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, also played a role in that. And the withdrawal of all U.S. troops from Iraq, rather than leaving a small residual force to work counterterrorism missions and train Iraqi military in Iraq, the Obama-Biden administration decided to pull the plug in the whole operation. It led to disastrous results. Now, once again, we're going to the same playbook with the same dimwits, and we have some results yesterday. They are horrific. They are horrifying. They are sopped in the blood of innocents, and it is why we went to Afghanistan in the first place, because it's a hotbed of medieval lunacy and troglodytes from various radical Islamic organizations, from the Haqqani group to Al-Qaeda to ISIS to the Taliban. And that's not much of a spectrum. It's not much of a range. They're all pretty much in the same ballpark. And you can play games all you want about how, the Taliban wants legitimacy because the Biden administration says so. No, they want money. They want international money, perhaps, but legitimacy might be a stretch. And they were manning the checkpoints surrounding the airport and presumably, or not, checking people coming into the zone, maybe patting people down, maybe not, maybe just checking papers, maybe, maybe not, because, after all, they're the Taliban. It's not like they're a legitimate organization of legitimate people. They're a gang of illiterate murderers and bearded, smelly AK-47 toting all. Now, a lot of them have M-16s and M-4 rifles that the Biden administration left behind. I saw the reports that Taliban leaders are flying around in Black Hawk helicopters now that we left behind, and we left a great many of them behind. I saw a report today, and I haven't double-checked this, that the Taliban now has more Black Hawk helicopters than Australia has, which is a significant U.S. ally. But the Taliban now, thanks to the Biden White House and the Biden Defense Department and the Biden State Department, and thanks to Joe Biden himself, has an air force of U.S. military hardware, and they're flying around in Black Hawk helicopters and reportedly now have more Black Hawk helicopters. We left more Black Hawk helicopters behind. The Biden White House and Joe Biden left more Black Hawk helicopters. The H-60 helicopters, that's the, the standard issue U.S. military helicopter now, and it's an outstanding, a $60 million helicopter. And we left so many of them behind that the Taliban now has more Black Hawk helicopters than Australia has. Heck of a job, Joe. Joe Biden yesterday held something of a press conference. He came out and made some statements, and he lost his place seemingly a couple of times, leafing through his leather binder. And then he went to his note telling him who to call on. Oh, they gave me a note telling me who to call on. And then he calls on a bunch of friendlies. And at the end, he did call on Peter Doocy, who we'll get to that. He said, what did he say? The most interesting? What did he call him? The most interesting reporter? The only one that doesn't ask fluffer questions. And Peter Doocy asked a couple of questions. They took the microphone away in the middle of the back and forth between Peter Doocy and Joe Biden. But we've got that for you to the extent that it's available to you. The White House pulling the microphone away and all that stuff. So we've got that. And it is obviously a horrific event, a radical Islamic jihadi terrorist attack on U.S. troops in a set of circumstances that was obviously brought to us by Joe Biden and his bad idea regime, because there are a whole lot of bad ideas that led up to this. And Joe Biden yesterday once again claimed, well, the buck stops with me, he said. And in the same moment, he was blaming the generals. He was blaming his military leadership for giving up Bagram Air Base, which is a crock. And he was blaming President Trump for the timeline, which is a crock. He blew up the timeline himself, Joe Biden did, and came up with his own timeline. Remember, we're going to be pulling out on September 11th. And That was a good idea for the Taliban. The Taliban loved that idea. Nobody with any common sense here on this side of the pond thought it was a good idea at all. And we are learning more and more through leaks that the defense establishment and the military industrial complex, the so-called intelligence community, a gated community of loons and in all too many instances. We're learning more and more about the at least they're claiming that they didn't advise Biden to leave Bagram. They didn't advise Biden to leave no troops in Afghanistan. They didn't advise Biden to make August 31st a date certain deadline for the evacuation. So the military, speaking again through leaks, not on the record, because, you know, why would you come out and be honest about it? You got to contradict the commander-in-chief. He's the boss, after all. And if he's rolling out all these falsehoods, I'll be generous right now and call them falsehoods, they're lies, and a little less generous, but just as true. Then really the military and the intelligence people should be coming out in public. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be almost like a free country or something like that. So we've got a lot of good stuff on all of this, of the tragic events of yesterday. Again, 13 Americans, killed. One Navy corpsman, or as Barack Obama used to say, corpsman, two United States Army soldiers, and 10 Marines, according to the latest count. And again, 18 more wounded, some very seriously. We're talking about suicide bombers here, and the wounds generally not minor from suicide bombers and giant explosions. Terrible thing. Again, more than 95 Afghans killed, and a total of 108 confirmed killed so far, plus 140 wounded in two suicide bombing attacks, plus gunfire by the troglodytes on our forces and on their own fellow Afghans. They don't view each other as fellow Afghans because it's a tribal medieval troglodyte culture from hell. To call it a culture is generous all by itself. It's the deadliest day for U.S. forces in more than a decade. Deadliest day for U.S. forces in more than a decade. And Joe Biden had all these great ideas about pulling out and about giving up Bagram and about, well, we can't defend Bagram and we can't defend the embassy and let's go to the airport. And it's been anarchy and chaos from the get-go because the commander-in-chief is not up to the task. You know, more and more, and I got another one yesterday. I think it was from my friend Maureen, who has two sons that are Marine Corps officers, heavily decorated Marine Corps officers, and raised a question about whether Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, not a doctor, Jill Biden bears some responsibility in this because she, knowing the limitations of her husband, allowed him to go ahead and run for president and from his basement and pushed him apparently to run for the presidency, knowing that he is, he's very limited. Let's be fair to everybody here. And this is fair to Joe Biden. He's obviously very limited mentally. Now, he's always been somewhat limited mentally because he's never been a particularly bright guy, and everybody has known that around Washington for decades. And he just kept failing up, which is what the Democrat Party system is all about, is the most inept and incompetent failing upward for all the wrong reasons. Because, you know, they got to put all these dumb people someplace. And we put one in the White House, and that's a real tragedy. And this thing was done completely backward, of course. You don't first pull your troops out and then start thinking about evacuating civilians, non-combatants. They call it a NEO, an NEO, a non-combatant evacuation operation, the military does. And when you have a non-combatant evacuation operation, you don't pull your military out. The military, the guys with the guns and the body armor, who are putting their lives at risk, and they're the last ones to come out, not the first ones to come out. It was all completely backward. And the Sun Tzu meme going around, the ancient Chinese military strategist and philosopher, the first step is not to give up your most important and strategic airbase before you engage in a massive evacuation operation. That was just stupefyingly unintelligent. So we've got that going for us. And this Joe Biden yesterday, the picture that has come to define, and these images certainly define what we've had only 7 months now, slightly more, of the Biden administration, and it's been a calamity from the start, undoing all the things that worked and made sense from the Trump years because, you know, orange man bad, and opening up the borders and all of this, the anarchy that he's created, not just at our southern border, but as a result of what he's done at the southern border, across the nation. And now he's completely botched Afghanistan, just completely botched it. And as now, once again, we're taking American casualties killed in action. And we haven't had anyone killed in action in more than a year and a half in Afghanistan. And now Joe Biden and the news media, they're here to tell you a bunch. You got a bunch of Democrats in the news media. Like this morning on CNN, they had, remember, Valerie Jarrett, senior advisor to President Obama in the Obama White House. Valerie Jarrett's daughter, Laura Jarrett, is naturally an anchor at CNN now. And so they had a guest on this morning who was the guest, naturally, an Obama administration official, talking about what a great job Joe Biden is doing and how it couldn't have gone any better and he had no choice. He had no latitude, no room to move. All of these things are false. Then you go an hour later on CNN and they've got Jim Sciutto, who was now one of their anchormen and reporters at CNN, who was an Obama administration official at the State Department, and they're all out here to tell you, and then MSDNC, they're out here to tell you that no, it couldn't have been done any differently, it couldn't have been done any better, this is just naturally what was going to happen, and there is no two ways about it, no other way could have been more successful, and all of that is false, of course, but that's our media. They're an extension of the Democrat Party, and I've got that for you. Also, there are other, of course, the Biden administration gave a kill list of Americans' names and the names of Afghans that have helped America. They gave the Taliban a list of all these names, which is rightly being called a kill list that they handed over to the Taliban because they're helping the Taliban, and they can't wait to give them money. We got all this stuff coming up. In the meantime, here in Washington, the chief enlisted non-commissioned officer in the United States Army is walking down the road of wokeness and political correctness yesterday, no less, yesterday. And at Harvard, they have a new chaplain. Have you heard about the new chaplain at Harvard? These are coming up. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Do you have an idea for an invention, but you don't know what to do next?
How do you get in front of companies or get a patent?
Call InventHelp. They've been helping inventors just like you for 35 years.
And thousands of people contact them every month.
With 65 offices, you can meet with an InventHelp representative near you who will keep your idea confidential and explain their invention process step by step. InventHelp has helped over 10,000 inventors get patents. And they offer 3D animations and prototyping services to help demonstrate your idea. InventHelp's exclusive data bank includes over 9,000 companies who have agreed to confidentially review new ideas, like yours.
Don't wonder what to do next. Take action right now and get the help you need from InventHelp.
Call today for free information.
Call 800-217-4380. That's 800-217-4380. Again, 1-800-217-4380.
Okay, so if you're like me and still doing your back-to-school shopping, one word, Kohl's. Right now they have the best deals on the brands my kids love. I got my son Converse sneakers for $60, 25% off Vans tees for my daughter, and 25% off Nike gear for both of them. Oh, but the best part, I got an extra 20% off and Kohl's cash too. So I may just have to go back and get a little something for myself. Flex style. Vans, Converse, and Nike coupons do not apply. 20% offer ends August 29th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
This message is for anyone looking for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance, even if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or taking anxiety meds. Here's an example. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe overweight with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost about $200 a month. We're Term Provider, experts in finding affordable term life insurance for those that may not be in perfect health. If you've had prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or on prescription medications, you may still qualify for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance. Get a quick quote by calling Term Provider at 800-555-1509. 800-555-1509. If you're looking for term life insurance but have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or have other health issues, call Term Provider at 800-555-1509 or visit termprovider.com. Termprovider.com.
Serving my country changed my life forever, and when I got home, every day was a struggle. I felt trapped. But everything changed the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
All right, as always, a great deal of stuff to get to, and tragic, horrifying, awful, Joe Biden presidency-defining stuff. The news media is working hard to clean it up for him already. I'll get into that. And, of course, Harvard and their new chaplain. Right now, let's go to the telephones. We are at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Chris, calling from New Jersey, your garden state. Hey, Chris, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm okay.
Yeah, what I called about was I was getting to the screener. What if Joe Biden wanted all this because he'd rather them talking about this because obviously China wants them talking about this. So that way they can get their all the nuclear materials through Afghanistan to Iran so Iran can get their nukes. So that way Iran can start saber-rattling. They have another proxy state like North Korea. And then they can invade Taiwan and there's nothing we can do about it.
Now, You don't have a lot of admiration and trust in Joe Biden and the Democrat Party based on what you've said. Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was the one that called about the not having officers as the Secretary of Defense. And
right.
Yeah, I have no – in all of these – in all those clowns at the I mean, you look at all these higher officers, right? None of them, like, none of them are resigning, saying, "I can't do this. This is." I mean, they haven't flown. Like, he hasn't flown the flag that, you know, talked about. Oh, we're going to fly order all, you know, flags that have stuff for the soldiers killed. I mean, talking about getting in refugees over Americans. I mean, this guy is like evil.
Evil, and not on our side. Now, the flags, since you mentioned the flags at the Capitol and at the White House are flying at half-staff today because of the massacre in Afghanistan yesterday. But evil and talking about playing into the hands of China and of Iran, and they had, during the Obama-Biden administration, worked dutifully and funneled tens of billions of dollars to the Iranians and allowed them to continue spinning centrifuges and enriching uranium while building up their ballistic missile fleet.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
The tobacco industry uses flavors like menthol to hook kids on nicotine. Parents, know this. 1. 4 out of 5 kids who've used tobacco started with a flavored product. 2. Minty menthol makes toxic nicotine seem harmless. 3. Flavors like menthol allow addiction to happen fast. Protect kids from a lifetime of addiction. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District Radio Show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement, too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
All right, we are back and continue to be at 888-630-9625. The Biden administration and the Democrats perhaps outdoing themselves. You know, Joe Biden at this point as president makes Jimmy Carter as president look like Dwight David Eisenhower, which would until yesterday have been considered unimaginable. But he is, I think it's officially, he's worse than Jimmy Carter already. And it took barely 7 months. He's the most awful president of my lifetime. He's a doddering dimwit, for one thing. And he lies a lot. And yesterday he was talking about how, you know, the buck stops with him as he passed the buck to his military leaders and his military advisors who allegedly told him to abandon Bagram Air Base, which is unimaginable. And also, it's all Trump's fault that he had this timeline, which is completely false, a phony argument. But the media is going with it, and that's what really matters, because it's about shaping public perception. It's all a terrible television show, and the Democrats enjoy information dominance in the United States of America. It's good to be a Democrat in that regard. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Anonymous, calling from Washington, D.C. Anonymous is an intelligence officer and has some situational awareness that Anonymous would like to share. Anonymous, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate you taking my call.
You bet.
I work in an Erie branch within the intelligence community here in the Washington, D.C. area. Uh-huh. And this branch encompasses Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, the Gulf states, a number of other areas. Uh-huh. And we have known about the threat in Afghanistan. We've known about the threat in Iraq as well, certainly for the last 4 months. We've known about ISIS-K. We've known about the Qani network, Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And one interesting thing about these groups is they are all related to the Taliban. The Taliban are brothers in arms. They all come from the same tribal regions. They all come from the same families at times, the same villages. One day they're Taliban, the next day they're ISIS-K, the next day they're Al-Qaeda network. They're all intermixed. And so when you give information to one, you're giving it to all. And one of the problems with sharing information with the intelligence community, one other point I'd like to say is our branch sends our information straight to the National Security Council and is included in the PDB, the Presidential Daily Brief.
Uh-huh.
The President knows this. The National Security Council knows this. And in February and March, we've explained the situation to President Biden numerous times. And all we got back was, it does not fit the narrative. You cannot talk about this sort of thing. And so our reports have started to change from the threats in Afghanistan and the threats in Iraq to the threats of right-wing extremism and the threats of global warming is the chief cause of terrorism and these other nonsense. And it's really put a damper in the kind of work that we do. The intelligence community are a bunch of consummate professionals, but when we are hamstrung by policy makers telling us what we can and what we can't say for fear of losing our jobs, that's where the real problem is. And it's not just in the intelligence community as well. Many of my friends work in the Defense Department, and they're going through the same sorts of things. We say the truth, but the truth will get you fired. The truth will cause the loss of rank, cause of loss of stars coming off your shoulders. And so the intelligence community has talked about this since February, March, and April, but we have not been able to make any headway within the National Security Council, within the White House. And that's really what I wanted to call on to say. And nothing here everything I've said has been said before. But the intelligence community has known about the threat in Afghanistan. They've known about what would have happened if we pulled out. We knew what would happen if we I've been there a number of times. It's just the wrong call to pull our troops out of there early. Again, Haqqani Network, ISIS-K, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, they're all the same group, just different wings. They share the same friends, the same villages, the same weapons now. And you're going to see these weapons percolating within the Shia militia groups in Iraq and in Iran states. It's not going to stop on the borders of Afghanistan. That's really what I want to say.
Right.
I appreciate your show. It's great. Love listening to it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And you're saying that the White House and the President and the National Security Council and the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, were all dialed into all of this and have been for months, because this information has been gathered, and this information has not been kept from the White House. It's been shared with the White House, but they don't want to hear it, so they don't take it in as information that they're going to use properly. They have a narrative, and if it doesn't fit, then you better shut up, because you're getting fingers wagged at you, and you said it straight up, that the truth will get you fired. And, you know, I've got a saying that is...
And it has. Many of my friends have been fired. And, in fact, one other point that what you talked about is when the narrative doesn't fit, they wanted the narrative to be so badly that global warming is a chief cause of terrorism. And that's what has been touted for the last 4 or 5 months. And that's just completely not true. But that's what they are constantly telling us, that we have to report the National Security Council. That's what the White House wants to hear. They don't want to hear the threat of the Shia militia groups running around Iraq. They don't want to hear about ISIS-K. They don't want to hear about Al-Qaeda within Afghanistan. They don't want to hear about the Gulf states. They don't want to hear about the corruption among Hamas and Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad and going up against our allies in the Levant region with Israel. It's just been a disaster for these last 4, 5, 6 months.
And when the headline, it was the left-wing Politico in Washington yesterday that broke the story, U.S. officials provided Taliban with names of Americans, Afghan allies to evacuate. And when you saw that headline yesterday, and it broke kind of big yesterday, and it did come up at the Biden event, you know, when you see that those names are being shared with the Haqqani Network, with the ISIS organization, ISIS-K, with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, that the Taliban, when you give it to the Taliban, the information you said is shared, it goes out on their distribution network, and Haqqani, ISIS-K, Al-Qaeda, all are close enough in with the Taliban when it comes to seeking revenge against Afghans that worked with the Americans and with the other allies, that this is being shared.
It is. And it's not just shared with the big four. It's shared with 20 smaller terrorist organizations that are now going to be thoroughly armed with our weapons. They're not going to know how to fly Apaches, but they're going to certainly know how to fire M4s.
Well, why would they, I know it's maybe a rhetorical question for you, why would they share this list of names with the Taliban then if they know this?
Chris, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I would have never done that. I can't imagine people that had any sense in the Defense Department or in the Intelligence Department ever doing this sort of treachery. They would have never done it in Iraq back in 07. It's just not something I'd ever heard of before. Sharing a list that turns into a kill list. And that's something that you hear in these novels, but that's just not something that is done.
Right.
It's just shocking when I heard that yesterday.
And once again, it blows up our reliability as a partner nation, as a NATO nation, looking for allies to work against radical Islamists. And also, I know your area of responsibility is, as you defined it, the region, basically the CENTCOM AOR, the U.S. Central Command Area of Responsibility. But, this is breathing life into Jamaah Islamiyah and to, other radical Islamic organizations in Indonesia and the Philippines and Asia and elsewhere because America's on the run, right?
That's exactly right. You're gonna see the effects of this carry on into Iraq, certainly, with the Shia militias there, with the Iranian-sponsored groups running throughout that region. You're going to certainly see it with Hamas and Hezbollah, and you're going to see it with the Islamic Saudi groups as well, as well as the Houthis down there in Yemen. You're going to see this far and wide. This is not going to stop in the borders of Afghanistan.
Right, right. And again, we've got all over the world. You got Abu Sayyaf and Jamaah Islamiyah, and you got all these radical groups around the world. And the United States is now officially on the run. CNN today declared that we lost the war. They had one of their Obama administration officials being interviewed by the daughter of an Obama administration official talking about, and she said it outright. Well, though, you know, the war is lost. Have we lost this war?
Well, I can't really speak for policy, but I can tell you one thing is I would have certainly liked to have seen somebody in the White House do things differently.
Yeah.
Whenever there was a threat in the old days, we used to go out and go on hunt and kill missions, and they don't do that any longer. We don't have bases anymore. The only way to get troops in there is, other ways of doing it. But it makes things difficult when you turn over Bagram. It makes things difficult when you hand over $100 billion worth of hardware that can be used against us. And this is not just regular hardware. This is classified information that's going to go straight to the Iranians. It's classified information that's going to go to the Pakistanis and the rest of the groups that we don't want to share this with. It's treacherous. And while the loss of life is horrendous, the loss of this classified information, the classified hardware, is nearly as bad.
Yeah.
That's going to carry over into firefights for the next decade.
For the next decade, at least. And I mean, I think our credibility, they like to talk about how President Trump was dismantling NATO. That was a lie. And he was making NATO worse. He was breaking it apart. That was all completely false. He was nudging gently NATO nations, our partner nations, to pay what they had committed by treaty to pay into the common defense, into the shared defense, 2% of GDP. And by doing that, he actually made NATO stronger. They're spending more on the common defense and building up rather than allowing us and the American middle class to carry the day for another generation by paying for the defense of Europe while they sit around and throw grapes down their throats. Yes.
Here's one more point that needs to be brought up, and that is as soon as Biden's put in the White House, they cut the defense budget, or at least they reallocated budgets that used to go to analysts and operators operating within the Middle East, specifically Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, the Gulf states, and reallocated that to forming these groups about studying global warming and right-wing extremist terrorism. And so the individuals like myself and many of my colleagues, many of the contracts have been cut. Many of those individuals that had been studying Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran for 20 years are without work or have had their work cut. And that's a real travesty. And so when they say the loss of intelligence, it literally means the loss of many analysts and operators that operate in that region because they just did not want the Middle East to be a priority. They would rather have the home front, the right-wing, domestic, whoever, as a threat, and global warming is a threat, and these other areas, but they did not want to focus on the Middle East. When they reallocate funds and cut individuals because of a specific region of the world because it's not violent, allegedly, because there hasn't been an attack in Afghanistan for the last 18 months, you're basically building up your you're shutting down what needs to be done, and eventually you're going to get a major attack like we saw yesterday.
Yeah, well, and I think bigger than that, and honestly, with the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, coming up on us quickly, I think the nation and airlines and Western Europe are going to be on high alert. And Afghanistan is the Afghanistan is the hornet's nest where all of these radical groups, and now it's going to be an electromagnet for the craziest jihadis in the world, because the Taliban is the new hero figure, the new leaders of the global jihad. And Afghanistan, which is just slightly smaller than Texas geographically and has a population of more than 30 million people, is again going to become a safe haven for every Star Wars bar scene gang of terrorist loons on the planet. And it will all be on Joe Biden's plate.
And one other thing is, we don't have just 1,000 or 1,500 people behind enemy lines. We have thousands and thousands of Americans that can't get to the airport. We have people in Mazar-e Sharif. We have people in Kandahar. We have people in Helmand that are hundreds of miles away from the airport there. And they don't have vehicles. They have absolutely no way to get to Kabul. And so when we say we can fix it all by the 31st or bring all the Americans that want to be home, I mean, that's just a load of bunk. There's no way we can bring in thousands and thousands of people that are stranded behind enemy lines. And again, the Taliban is not our friends. They've never been our friends. They've been the enemy, well, since 9/11. And again, they share intelligence, they share weapons, they share fighters with all these other groups, the 30 other terrorist groups that are running around Afghanistan. And they spill over into Iran. They have relationships in Iran. They have relationships, far and wide. And saying the Taliban is our friends is a complete falsehood. And any general that's wearing four stars should certainly know that.
Yeah, yeah. And you're talking about behind enemy lines in Mazar-e Sharif and beyond. You're talking about U.S. government employees. You're talking about civilians. You're talking about a combination of both.
I'm talking about American civilians, NGOs, contractors that work for the Defense Department, contractors that work for the intelligence community, contractors, government individuals, civilians, Americans all, and they're all. Left high and dry. I have friends there now, and I really don't know how they're going to make it to Kabul Airport. And even if they did make it to the region of Kabul, there's no way they're going to get past the checkpoints. I wouldn't. I've been to Afghanistan a number of times, and there's no way I would even dare to try to get past a Taliban-run checkpoint, show my papers, say I'm an American, do what I need to do. It's just too much risk, especially for an intelligence official. No way would he want to take that kind of risk being captured and interrogated, and that goes for contractors, it goes for any American. It's just ludicrous to think that you're going to get all these individuals out.
Well, God bless you. I am saluting you, sir, and I hope to be able to buy you a beer one day, or more than one. Thank you. Thank you for calling
in. That would be great, but I don't drink.
well, then you can drive. We'll get bucklers or something like that. God bless you, and thank you for calling in. The country needs more truth right now. Truth is a good thing, and nothing gets you in trouble like the truth in this town.
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
This message is for anyone looking for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance, even if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or taking anxiety meds. Here's an example. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe overweight with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost about $200 a month. We're Term Provider, experts in finding affordable term life insurance for those that may not be in perfect health. If you've had prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or on prescription prescription medications, you may still qualify for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance. Get a quick quote by calling Term Provider at 800-555-1509. 800-555-1509. If you're looking for term life insurance but have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or have other health issues, call Term Provider at 800-555-1509 or visit termprovider.com. termprovider.com.
Okay, so if you're like me and still doing your back-to-school shopping, one word, Kohl's. Right now, they have the best deals on the brands my kids love. I got my son Converse sneakers for $60, 25% off Vans tees for my daughter, and 25% off Nike gear for both of them. Oh, but the best part? I got an extra 20% off and Kohl's cash, too. So I may just have to go back and get a little something for myself. Flex style. Vans, Converse, and Nike coupons do not apply. 20% offer ends August 29th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Can I get a chair that'll turn my home office into a corner office?
It's possible.
How can I feel as good at the end of the day as I felt at the beginning?
Staples Connect makes it possible with all the innovative tools you need to work from home. And right now, get up to 40% off select chairs. That's up to 40% off chairs that roll, swivel, tilt, and turn. Discover money-saving deals, work-from-home tips, and inspiration at staplesconnect.com/furniture. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 8/28 while supplies last. Prices may vary online.
Are you a homeowner and do you have a VA mortgage? Then think about a VA Streamline refinance from Guaranteed Rate. It's just for VA loans and it lowers your mortgage rate so you save money on mortgage payments. Maybe a lot of money. And it's so easy to qualify. You don't need pay stubs, a W-2 or bank statements. You don't need a home appraisal. And Guaranteed Rate will waive any lender's fees. That alone could save you almost $2,000. Mortgage interest rates are extremely low right now. So call today and you could lock in a great deal. Do you have a VA mortgage? Call 888-809-6007. 888-809-6007. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 2611. Not all borrowers will be approved. Restrictions apply. Guaranteed Rate Inc. has no affiliation with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or any other government agency. Guaranteed Rate is proud to be a partner of the USO. Call 888-809-6007.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
So I'm not sure what the rule is on that, but we could find out the hard way or the easy way, I guess. Yeah, and also look for the situation in Afghanistan to not get better. The troglodytes will be emboldened by what happened yesterday. It's not like they're done. They're never done. They're always just in the middle of the jihad. They're troglodytes, and this is what they do. It's what they live for, and it's what they die for. They're a death cult, a murderous death cult. It's called radical Islam. In case you've forgotten all about this, I'm here to remind. And the situation could, they're going to try to shoot down our C-17s loaded with people. It's what they do. They create mass casualty situations. They're terrorists. And the Taliban is not our friend, as Anonymous was saying. Let's go real quick. Let's go to Chris, calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Chris, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just, I hear everybody talking about these horrible things that are happening. And, you know, we look around and we see it all the time with the border and the pullout of Afghanistan. And, you know, what's happening is we're being invaded. And it's, you know, it's no secret. It's happening right before our eyes. It's, frankly, treasonous. And, you know, when are we going to wake up as a society and realize that there's a wolf in sheep's clothing? You know, these things that are happening, they're not by accident. It's treason, Chris.
Yeah, and I've been saying it for a long time. You don't believe the Democrat Party is actually on the side of the United States of America?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Yeah, and there are many millions of Americans who... the age-old question persists. Are they this dumb or this...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.